when I'm driving around that Corvette, the Corvette doesn't have a radio. It's one of the best things I've ever done. Yeah. You know what? Having no radio, when you drive around with no radio, 3, 2, 1, live, boom! When I was young and I used to deliver newspapers, my car didn't have a radio. And I used to come up with some of my best shit, like for like stand-up comedy material, with no radio, just driving around doing other things because I had to fold newspapers up and throw them out the window.
I bet, man.
And when you have no radio, you're forced to think. And when you're forced to think, you think about shit. When you're forced to think about shit, you go, it's like we're constantly distracted, man. We want to look at our phone all the time. We want to see this podcast today, ladies and gentlemen. No laptop. I'm trying the new thing, Jamie.
Nice.
No laptop. I'm trying. And then if I got Jamie here, if I need to Google some shit.
Boom. That's what he's here for.
I probably should have tweeted. It's about to start here. I'll tweet it right now.
That might help.
That might help a little bit.
There you are.
Yeah, here I am, distracted.
Distracted. It's important, man. I mean, in the car, you spend so much time in the car and you listen to music and just to pass time.
Exactly.
I'm with you, man.
Well, one thing that's good, though, is podcasts and books on tape. I do really enjoy doing that. I think that, like, having the option is probably better, but the Corvette doesn't have a radio. I like not having a radio. I like sometimes just driving around, just being alone with the thoughts, hearing the rumble of the engine, you know?
I had that engine, yes, I agree.
Well, your engine is pretty fucking sweet sounding, too.
Yeah, it's dope, but it's not that Corvette. Thing sounds...
Well, it's a different kind of thing, but you wouldn't want to live with that every day either. You'd get annoyed.
Correct.
You'd be like, all right, you're fucking loud. It'd be like living with a crazy coked up stripper every day.
I was just
going to
say that. It's like dating a stripper, man. It seems fun. Every now and then, it gets real old.
But not just living with her, but like she would have to drive you to work.
And everyone sees you. And look at me.
And she's got tattoos on her neck, and she's loud, and she smells like cum.
Smells like cum.
It's just like, oh, this is fun on Saturday
it's
in
exhausting.
Vegas.
It's exhausting.
You're like, listen, lady, I'm almost 30 years old. I got to get my life in order. You got to get out of my fucking life.
I'm at Starbucks, bitch. I need you piped down.
That's what happens when you're young. Like, those things are okay. But as you get older, you realize, like, this is not fun. This is just, there's a lot happening. So I think it's fun when I'm drunk. You know?
Think? Well, I think it's good for, like, once or twice a week.
Depends on the girl.
True.
It depends. Well,
I thought we were talking about cars.
For the girl, it depends on the guy. We are talking about cars. We're talking about all things. You don't want to watch an action movie every fucking day.
Hell no.
You don't want to watch explosions and fucking missiles. Occasionally, you want to watch, like, Step Brothers.
Yeah,
you want to watch
something
fun.
Mix it up. Listen, I love ice cream, but I want vanilla every day.
That's right. Mixing it up is big. And that's what... People with everything, right?
Everything, man. We were talking about it off the air. People get too comfortable.
Mm-hmm. They do.
I'm never comfortable.
You know, one of the things that have been freaking me out lately, not freaking me out, but it's been like, I've been like wondering on it. Like on my message board, sometimes I'll have a guest and then I'll read like after the podcast that like for like, it's almost like half and half sometimes. Like I had this guy, Milo Yiannopoulos. On the other day, hilarious guy. He's a gay guy. He's a blogger, really funny blogger, lives in England, and he was over here from London. And some people loved the podcast. Some people fucking hated it. Worst podcast ever. This was shit. Oh, my God, this was hilarious. I love that guy. He's so entertaining. I want to drown him in a toilet bowl. It's like... You can't.
That's what you want, though.
Yeah, kind of.
Right? That's kind of what you want. That you want. As long as they're talking about it, you're good.
You cannot make every. It's not possible to make everyone happy. It does. The only person who ever made everyone happy was Bill Cosby. He was the only guy. I'm not joking.
What the fuck?
He was the only guy.
No, he didn't.
You're right, he didn't. But he was the only guy that for a long time you never heard a goddamn bad thing about.
Nah,
him.
Those Jell-O commercials piss me off, man. And that bullshit sweater all the time. Blacking up.
He was so good as a comic and so good as the host of his show, and the Cosby Show was so well done that literally no one spoke ill of him. And all the while, he's drugging chicks and raping them.
Dude.
But he might be the only guy. There's like a few, like Anthony Hopkins. You know, there's a few actors.
But no one knows him. You know what I'm saying?
I
feel like we know Bill Cosby, or we thought we did.
We did.
I feel like Jay Leno's one of those guys.
In what way?
Most people love Jay Leno. Like, oh, you don't hear a bad thing about Jay. Really?
Oh, that's so not true.
Am I way off on this?
Oh, yeah, you're so off.
What?
Yeah.
Jay Leno?
Mm-hmm. First of all, I love
Jay Leno. Well, Dave Letterman might hate him.
Not just Dave Letterman, but there was a bunch of fans of Conan O'Brien. There was a whole situation where Conan took over the Tonight Show.
That.
And then remember, Jay Leno had a show before him. And then it became like this crazy thing where the Tonight Show wasn't doing so well.
Well, this is like Cosby raping bitches. Before that, before we knew that.
People still didn't like him, man.
Really?
Yeah. There was
maybe
certain,
it was my house.
First of all,
the Shobs loved Jay Leno.
Yeah.
My household loved him.
What state was this again?
Denver.
Yeah, Denver, Colorado. That sounds about right.
We love us
especially
Jay Leno.
Pre-weed.
Yeah,
pre-weed being legal, Denver,
we thought
Colorado.
He was hilarious.
That was like living on a farm with really good electricity. That's like being on a ranch somewhere. Some people that had a satellite dish. But I think there was a lot of people from the Howard Stern group. Like for stand-up comics, Jay Leno at one point in time was like one of the top comics in the country.
For
like
sure.
Real edgy.
Yeah.
Real edgy when he was young. He would go on David Letterman, be like this like super edgy guy. And then for some comics, they felt like when he started hosting The Tonight Show, he kind of became more middle America and became more. But he did it. It's like it was a calculated move on his part.
Smart move, really?
It was a smart move
financially. He's more corporate, you're saying, right? Kind of
yes.
Sold out.
Oh, 100% corporate.
Yeah.
100% corporate. When you say sold out, I don't know, because I think people who like what he's doing still think what he's doing is great. He just found a broader market that maybe might not appeal to like younger, more hardcore people the way a real sharp guy like Letterman or maybe Conan. Conan has some of the best writers in all of late night.
I love Conan.
Yeah, especially like when he was on in the Late Night Show in New York. He had like my buddy used to work for him. I got to see like one of their very first shows. You know how they have like we're having this banter back and forth because we're just talking.
Yeah,
we're two
just
friends.
Bullshit,
just shooting the shit.
Yeah,
when it would appear that they were doing that, but behind them there was placards that had every word they were supposed to say. So their conversations were fake.
What?
Yeah. They had a fake conversation. So they'd be, so I went to the zoo yesterday.
So someone's holding up zoo.
Yep. Right behind them. They had everything was rehearsed and everything was pre-planned. And eventually he got away from that. And I think in the beginning they were nervous because he was a writer. And so he really didn't have a lot of performance experience.
Because he wrote for Saturday Night Live and Simpsons, right? Is that correct?
I believe so.
Pretty sure.
I don't know, but I know he was
a beast, super respected
writer and a really funny guy. And the thought was that he was the guy that was like always really funny in the room. Like when he would meet with executives and writers, he was like the funny guy, like a really strong, intelligent, funny guy. And they're like, this guy should be a host of a fucking show. And then they decided to, you know, build it up and make it work. But in the beginning, they like literally, it's probably micromanagement on the network side. They were probably just fucking with his show too much. They didn't just allow it
to be
what it is.
Yeah, they're taking a huge risk
having him there. So it was weird that their I don't remember what my original point was, but their conversation, oh, this is what it was, that their conversation was written out. So it was like the writers were like really sharp dudes that were trying to, and then they came out with all these different like characters and reoccurring themes and everything that they would use on the show, and it became like a real cohesive thing. And then when he went to the Tonight Show, they changed the show. Like all of a sudden he was doing like the Tonight Show. You know, it's like the whole thing was different.
Can't
the feel
that,
was
man.
Different.
You got to do what got you to the dance.
Not only that, when they did it, Jay Leno was number one. Like when they had Jay Leno step out and they put Conan O'Brien in, I think they probably, you know, they have these weird things where they base it on how old people are. Like if you're old as fuck, they don't want you because old people don't spend any money. They want those 18, 34-year-old men. Who are single.
That's the
real money. The real money is in young dudes who spend money on stupid shit. And they're probably easily influenced by commercials. So they just fucking...
Shit, I know I am. Fucking...
So that's
I see those
want.
KFC commercials. They fucking go.
But there was also this thing where the Howard Stern show was pissed at him. And Howard Stern was pissed at Jay Leno because someone, whoever it was, on the Jay Leno writing staff, most likely... was ripping off ideas from the Howard Stern show.
Yeesh.
Allegedly. I've never examined this, but I remember Howard being really pissed about it, and he's not unreasonable when it comes to stuff like that. It doesn't make sense.
Howard's a powerful dude, too.
Well, yeah, I think also, like, sometimes writers do shit like that, man. That's happened, like, a gang of times with stand-ups. Like, writers will come to see you perform, and then they turn your bits into, like, a part in a sitcom. That happened to Kevin James. I witnessed it. I saw the whole thing. It's happened to several guys on a bunch of different shows.
Bummer.
Well, you know what it is. Like, say if you're a writer, you're a young kid from fucking Cleveland, and you get a gig writing for the Chris D'Elia's show, right? You got to be funny.
You got some demands.
Yeah. Yeah. You got some fucking demands. And some of these guys will come to comedy clubs, and they'll just pilfer ideas.
It's a bad idea, man. It means you're shitty at your job.
It does. But it also means you're trying to get by. Fake it till you make it, Brendan Schaub.
But you can't fake it off other people's ideas, though. Because eventually you're going to get caught up.
I agree. I think a lot of them
there's no longevity in that.
They think they're not going to get caught up.
True.
They think they're just going to get away with it. Just do it now, and then I'm really good. They just don't know it.
Unless Joe Rogan sees that shit.
Or anybody now. You know? When we put out that YouTube video of the Mencia thing, Ooh. That was a long-ass time ago.
Dude, I just saw that like a couple months ago. That shit was awkward as fuck. So awkward. Oof. Why'd you get on stage like that?
Well, I was on stage before him.
I know.
You know the whole story?
And then he's coming up, right?
He actually wasn't supposed to be on. He took the microphone away from the guy who was next. The guy who was next is this guy, Kurt Fox.
He just deboed him. He was like, give me the mic, punk.
Yeah, because I had brought him up as a writer, because Kurt used to write for Carlos, and I said he was a writer for Carlos Menstelia. And so that was it. That was it. It was a straw that broke the camel's back.
But then you jump up there, and then he goes, I have the mic. Yeah. You don't realize, dummies, I have the mic. And you're like, give me a fucking mic. Yeah. Then you get the mic. Shut that shit down.
Is he still alive? Yes, he's alive.
Is he still alive? Did you have him killed?
No, he's alive.
Did the UFC mafia get to him? Is he buried somewhere? Is he dead?
He's out there doing stand-up still.
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah. I hope he's doing well. I hope he's doing well. I hope he's doing his own shit. You know, the problem with those guys are, one of the big problems is when you steal, you don't learn what it takes to come up with bit. Like, I got a couple of bits right now that they might die. I'm looking at them. They're like bad dogs.
They're like
dogs with broken hips. I'm like, I have to put this motherfucker down. Yeah, this is a horse with a broken leg.
See ya.
I'm trying to think if I should fix the bit or if I should just tank it.
That's the battle, though, right? That's what makes you great.
It's the only way to make a bit good. You got to bring that motherfucker out to the light of day, and you got to tweak it and roll it. And there's sometimes that bits just don't seem like they're going to make it. And sometimes you got to let them go.
But that's why you're making a living as a comedian, and then Carlos Mencia's like, fuck, man.
Well, he's still making a living. He still probably does really well.
You think?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's a name. You know, he can go to weird spots and do comedy clubs and still probably do pretty good. But the reality is, you know, when you do that, when you steal, you usually steal because there's a different mindset for a plagiarist than there is for someone who's creative. And I think the mindset of someone who's a plagiarist is the mindset of it's all about me. Mm. It's about me getting this stuff, and then I'm going to do it, and I'm going to be a bad motherfucker. It's about me. Whereas I think the mindset of someone who's more creative is all about whatever the idea is. And you're just sort of like a train to get the idea to the people.
Well, I think if you're creative too, you see an idea and you're like, well, you view it from a different filter. Does that make sense?
Maybe.
Like, I can see, well, people can see an idea and view it from a different filter. I'm like, I think this is the funny way. Like, this angle might be funnier.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes. I mean, it really depends entirely on the idea. But I think the big factor, one of the big factors is ego. And if you have a big ego, it can help you and it can fuck you. It can do both. It can help you, and it gives you like the courage and the belief in yourself, even if it doesn't even make any sense, to try something that's very difficult to
do.
That's
huge, man.
It is big.
That's huge. At our first live show, the first 8-9 minutes was me by myself.
What?
Why? That was the bit.
What? You started it off?
Yeah.
Whose idea was this?
Both of ours.
Why would you want to do that?
It went awesome, man. You're talking about egos. You're talking about egos. It went great, man.
Well, people loved you.
Yeah,
they came there to see you.
Yeah, it went great,
you.
Man.
So you did stand-up.
Yeah, basically like told a story.
Whoa.
Yeah, and had this whole bit, and people were cracking up.
You've done stand-up. Your first stand-up was in front of a live audience.
Sold out, right?
That was a podcast.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was awesome, man.
Your first stand-up ever is on the internet.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's nuts.
Well, we're not releasing it, though.
Oh, you haven't released it?
We're not going to. People want to release it.
What?
I'll release my stand-up portion.
Right.
But we want to make it special for the live fans. People hate that.
Why would you want to do that? It already was special for them. They probably want to hear it again. And then a bunch of other people want to hear it too.
But yeah, so come to the other live shows. We're doing
no,
all these
no,
tours.
No, no, no,
you think
no,
we should release
no.
it live?
Is this your idea or Callan's idea?
Well, probably mine.
Yeah. I was thinking it was too retarded to be yours. I thought it was. That's not his Callan's.
This is my only thing we have to talk about right now on here. This, your idea of Callan's.
I honestly think it's special for those people because they're there live. Yeah. But they're there live. It's already special for them. They probably want to hear it again. There's probably a lot of people that were there that said that was a really good time. I would love hear that again in my commute. And then there's other people that weren't there. Well, you going to punish them because they couldn't
I'm
get
not
to Brea?
Punish them.
That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing, man.
I'm punishing.
You got a recording. Release the hounds. Unless you're thinking about
people
doing.
People are going to jump all over this now. I was getting so much heat.
Yeah, you should release it 100%.
Well, fuck, now I have to, don't
I? You just should. It's good. If it's good, you should release it.
It's great.
Then you should definitely release it. Why not release it?
Because we're doing a nationwide tour.
Good. Keep doing
that. I feel
that.
Like it would bring more people to the actual live event.
No, they're going to come anyway. Don't worry
really?
About it. Yes. God, what are you worried about? There's 350 million people out there. You can't. What you need to do is clone yourselves and have more shows and do them in more spots.
Yeah.
What you don't need to worry about is people not showing up at a spot because they heard a live, unless the live podcast sucks. If you come up with a dud, you do have that advantage. But if you come up with a dud, you can tank it. Like, if for whatever reason, it just goes awful.
just bombs. But like, then come in hungover
if you have an excuse. You know, if someone have to roofie you or something before the show.
They could.
You never know. Girl. Just start talking.
I'll tell you what, man. We did live questions, and usually we filter them. Some girl, you know, I've never been on stage really. It's bright as fuck. They give the mic to some girl. She goes, Shab, do you remember me? I proposed to you 4 years ago at the UFC Expo, and you said yes. Where the fuck's my ring? It's like, what the fuck? I'm trying to look. I'm like, who the fuck is that? Moving on. Next question. Brendan, what do you think of? And it's some Ronda Rousey question. Next question.
Oh,
Brendan,
no.
How much would Reebok? Next question.
Oh, yeah.
It was fun,
see,
though. Mix it up, man.
I get that, though. So you're involved in a lot of controversial shit.
Not really.
At a very
high mean
level.
Telling the truth?
oh,
you mean being honest?
Yes.
You mean being honest?
Don't you think that's controversial?
I guess it is for an athlete. I guess I'm supposed to be this fucking cookie cutter and get in line, and it's just, I don't know.
Well, you just have terrible PR skills, and it turns out it works.
Mm. Depends how you look at it.
What is PR, though? It's public relations. See, that's where they're wrong, because your public relations skills are awesome, because everybody knows you don't really have a very good filter.
No filter.
Your filter's like a bunch of string in front of a river trying to keep the salmon out. It's like, you need more than that. They're going to get through that. They go over rocks. You know what I mean?
You got to have more than that, man.
It's just like a moment of pause where they get to the string and they go, what am I doing here?
Dude, okay, I don't know what to do. Someone asked me a question. I'm like, I can't fucking.
Don't worry about it. You're a good guy.
Yeah. I try.
If you're a good guy, just be yourself. Yeah.
If you're a good guy and you're telling the truth, I don't see why why you wouldn't just keep doing it. Like, I was training the other day, and this guy came up to me and goes, man, dude, I love what you do. You know, you give me motivation to do some outside fighting, blah, blah, blah.
But
he goes, I wish I could talk about some stuff. Do it, man.
Oh, he wishes he could do what you do.
Yeah,
oh,
he goes,
oh, that's
I wish.
Not really the same kind of butt.
Yeah, he just goes, I wish. He goes, I wish, I just can't. Like,
some
why,
people,
man?
Well, he might not be able to now. And the road for him to get to the point where he can is long. But people, people always think that they are who they used to be. Does that make sense? It's like people look at themselves, like say if you were a loser in high school and you fucked. There's a lot of people that are haunted by high school for like their whole life.
Or certain events, yeah.
That's why being bullied is so dangerous to some people. Because if they get really fucked with by people and tormented by people in high school, that shit can carry over the rest of their life. It devastates their confidence. So in their early developmental period, they have this really poor self-image. And having a poor self-image is fucking super hard to get over. It's
agreed,
really
100%.
Hard.
Well, you know, I've talked about it before on this. I have basically body dysmorphia, which is fucking crazy, man, because I'm in great shape. But it happened in college. I had this girlfriend for a long time, and I had this huge event. I was getting ready to try out for all these NFL teams. The night before, I was going through all my mental stuff on how I was going to do, and I put on exactly what I was going to wear. And it's the, you know, you don't know how to act and eat like a pro, but I did it for, 4 months, and I was like feeling good. I'm like, damn, dude, I look like an NFL guy right now. This is how an NFL guy looks.
Right.
And at my girlfriend, I go, what do you think? How'd I look? And she goes, you look a little soft. You look soft. You look kind of chubby.
Whoa. One girl got you.
Got me. I was literally like, ever since then, man.
Wow.
Gave me a fucking.
Did she date some bodybuilders before you or something? Some
dudes who
cut weight and eat oats?
I don't know. I think she was just trying to be honest. Maybe she didn't have a filter. I don't know, man. Maybe that bitch didn't have a filter.
Well, see, did you look then?
Kicked her to the curb.
Did you immediately? For calling you soft?
Shortly after that. Yeah. Very shortly after.
But you were like, what?
Beat it, nerd. But ever since then, I was like, damn. And then it fucked with my then it fucked with my confidence the next day. I was like, oh, shit.
That can do that. 100%, can do that. Man. Yeah, if you let it in. I think it's like snake venom. Like, you get a little bite. You get a little bite every now and then. I think it's good for you. You got to understand what's happening when someone's insulting you. You got to understand. You know, and sometimes they're just being honest with you.
True.
And there's a time for that. But yes. That was not the time for that.
That was
you had a fucking big
sure
audition.
As fuck, not the time for
big
it.
Big tryouts, big games, big event the next day.
Biggest time of my life ever for, at the time is a huge event.
And she's telling you soft.
It's tough, man.
That's a mean bitch.
It's tough.
Did you guys have fights before this? Was she mad about something else?
I mean, I'm sure I was a shitty boyfriend. Did I have another girlfriend at the time? Yeah, I did. Okay, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I was a bad guy. Well, I'm not a bad guy. I'm in college.
You were young.
We're not going to get married. Yeah.
Young, dumb, and full of cum.
Yeah.
That's
man.
What it is, right? That's
right.
Why that expression exists.
Yeah, man.
When you say
I've
young, dumb, and full... You never heard young, dumb, and full of cum?
No.
Oh, my God. That's an old
have
one.
Have you?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, Jamie has. That's old. He's heard it from me 100 times.
Yeah, there you go. It's before Rogan.
No,
though?
Yeah. For sure, it's not mine.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it was around when I was in high school. But you
maybe
know,
it's some old school shit.
I think it's some old school shit, but it's new school too because I've heard it from people recently.
If someone would have told me that in college or high school, I'm like, damn, that's aggressive, man. Super aggressive.
But correct.
Full cum. Jesus Christ.
I know, right? It's like you're just trying goddamn to overflow.
Live here. Yeah.
But when you say that, nobody goes, I don't even understand. Everybody goes, yeah.
No, I get it. Yeah, 100%. That was me.
I was thinking about myself in high school the other day for whatever reason. You know how you, like sometimes you have this weird moment where you just think like, wow, well, what was it like to like to be like if I had to go and do that again, what was it really like? What are my memories of it? And what was it really like? Because my memories of it were all like always nervous. Fucking never confident, always
really?
Weirded out. Yeah. Trying to get away from everybody. Always just, I was weird.
You're that kid?
Oh, so weirded. I was accepted because I fit in, like the way I looked fit
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
I
no,
looked
I was
like an
say.
Athlete, but I didn't know anything about sports. I didn't know no sports, and all I wanted to do was kickbox. That's all I wanted to do. All I wanted to do was Taekwondo and kickbox.
That'd been tough back then.
It was I was such a weirdo. That's all I did all day. I was always insecure. Everything but that. Like, when I did that, I was super confident. Like, I knew I was really good at that. So that was, like, one thing I couldn't wait to do and get the fuck away from people.
What about girls?
I had a couple girlfriends. I did all right. I was a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
It wasn't that hard.
I'm just...
But I wasn't, like, I wasn't very good socially. Not for sure. Wasn't good at it. Like, I wasn't really good at that until I calmed down. Like, I don't think I was even that good socially when I started doing stand-up. I think I got way better at it because I realized I need to.
Mm.
But I was of like one of the things that I was thinking when I first started doing it was like, man, I wish I would just go back to competing because in competing I didn't need anybody's approval. Like I kind of liked it if you didn't like me. I kind of liked it if there's a bunch of people cheering against me. I was like, just wait to see what I do.
Yeah, like just like, wait.
Yeah, it doesn't matter to me. It's just gonna give me some more motivation. It's gonna give me some more intensity. But with comedy, everybody has to like you. And then you realize, like, you're not that likable.
They
like,
have just 'cause, to, though.
Yeah. But, like, sometimes, like, things we do, like, things a person does, you do to be successful. But you're not thinking in terms of, like, being liked.
Mm.
Like, I always wondered about, like, guys who are extreme winners. Guys like Lance Armstrong or guys like Michael Jordan. And they get reputations of being not very good guys or very nice guys or maybe greedy. Like, you always hear that about Jordan. He doesn't
selfish.
Selfish.
Yeah, man.
And you got to think, like, a guy like that is so focused on this one thing. He's so focused on winning. You're so focused on just beating everyone down, and it's all about him and him getting ahead. You're so focused on that. So you're not thinking about how other people are perceiving you because you're like, fuck them. I'm coming in there, dunk on their face.
Yeah, man. That's what greatness requires. That's what I learned. Through my journey of athletics, the best players I ever played with, they weren't the friendliest. The best fighters who I trained with or best fighters that I ran with, God, not the friendliest, man.
But George is. St. Pierre? St. Pierre is a super fucking friendly guy. He's like George, one of those weird exceptions.
George is super friendly. Super friendly. I wouldn't say George is the most out. There's always something. George might be the exception. George is a very cerebral fighter. I wouldn't say George isn't the most outgoing guy. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like George is kind of an introverted soul. Well, he's picked on as a kid and stuff like that. He's different. Mm-hmm. A lot of the super winners, they're just different, man. It's something, maybe they're born with that, or some event in their life happened or something like that.
Mm.
And they're just these ultra winners. And I could never relate to it. I got to be honest.
I wonder if being like that, it's the only way you become an ultra winner. If you just think about the winning only, you can't be this like really social butterfly person that just goes around and makes friends with everybody. You got to be some driven psycho that's getting up at 4:30 and running up hills.
Yeah, man. And then you mix that with talent. Now you fucking the greatness.
Yeah.
That's where the greatness comes from, man.
Yeah. You know, I had a crazy conversation with BJ Penn the other night. I just got a text out of the blue from BJ. Called BJ up, and BJ and I were talking about all sorts of shit, and he was talking to this friend of his who got his black belt in 4 years. You know, BJ got his black belt in 3.5 years.
Yeah, which was crazy.
Crazy. So the guy, you know, and BJ talking, and BJ goes, "Wow, that's amazing. Congratulations. You must be really talented." And he goes, "No." He goes, "I'm addicted." He goes, "I'm addicted to jiu-jitsu, just like you. You were addicted too." And BJ sat back. He goes, "I never thought about it that way." And then he goes, "I realized, yeah, I was addicted.
Yeah, man.
That's why I got my black belt in 3.5 years. I was addicted." Yeah. We were laughing. He was talking about how he's addicted to Final Fantasy. You ever play that game?
I have, in like eighth grade. He plays that shit?
One point in time, though, he got addicted to that game.
That's how. But again, that's how these crazy successful people are. Mm-hmm. There is no one foot in, one foot out.
Yeah.
It's fucking all in, man, and nothing else matters.
Yeah.
Nothing else matters.
Yeah.
That might be my problem, Joe.
You're too nice. But on occasionally, like I watched that Crow Cop fight the other day. You weren't very nice in that fight. That was not nice.
You know,
you were super aggressive in that fight.
I was. You know what's weird, man, is like I watched the Alexander and DC fight where it's back and forth. And I used to get inspired by those, right? I used to watch a great fight, and as soon as they ended, I'd hit the ground running. Well, I love to run. I'd just run.
Yeah.
Just that's how I dealt with being nervous and what's next for me. I'd just start fucking running. Now when I see that stuff, I think first about their health. I'm like, damn, what? I hope he's okay.
Yeah.
And I felt that change in me, and I'm like, that's not good.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not good. Because don't get me wrong, I still appreciate a great fight. I fucking love fighting. I don't miss a fight. I view it different now. Instead of thinking that was an amazing fight, I think, man, I hope they're okay. Hopefully they're not too injured. And what's next after this? Even if you win the belt, all right, man, what's after this? Because I have friends who have won belts, and you know they're not fucking killing it these days.
It seems like like it's one of those things where you just have to. You have to be able to put aside any thoughts of the damage that you're doing to yourself. You got to be able to just do it. And now as soon as you start taking into consideration the damage, it becomes that extra factor. It becomes that extra thing that you have to think about, you know, that can fuck with, and also that thing that can fuck with greatness. Like
we
were talking about greatness is like this obsession plus talent, dedication, and drive. But then you add the variable of fear of injury or concern or playing conservative to avoid injury.
I agree. I think I was obsessed with fighting. And I think if you ask anyone who trained with me or one of my coaches, man, hardest worker in the room, Shab. By far, I was crazy, crazy. But then when it came time to fight, you ever seen the old school RoboCop where he's about to attack someone? It's like calculating, and it's like fucking 70% gun here. That's
right.
How my fucking mind works, man. I don't know what to do. You know what I'm saying? Like my last fight, I'm sitting there and I'm like, all right, I know here he throws this. I know he's gonna kick.
So you're
here.
Thinking too much.
I'm thinking too much. I'm too cerebral. I'm thinking way too much. Well, they're probably not like that. They're going.
They're in the zone.
They're in the zone. They're fighters. They're going.
Yeah.
It's tough, man.
Well, it's one of the most difficult things, I think, for people to do is to get in that zone, to figure out that place that you get to where you're just relying on all of your training and you're just there.
Instincts. That happened to me once.
Once?
Gabriel Gonzaga.
Really? Only once?
Only once. I don't know why. Could not tell you why.
Wow.
But I remember that fight, just everything was slow motion. I didn't hear the crowd. Everything he threw, I already saw coming. And it was just like this white noise. That's the one time I've been in the zone. Never got in the zone in football, really. Maybe once. But fighting, it's a freaking, to get there, man, is unreal.
Well, it's different. It's like if you get in the zone with playing ping pong, the loss of getting in the zone, it's not dangerous to your health.
Yeah.
Like the thing about fighting that makes it different than anything else, even more difficult than jiu-jitsu, because jiu-jitsu is nerve-wracking. And when you watch two guys going at it and they're trying to kill each other, they're nervous as fuck before that, you know? But they're not as worried about injury. It's a different kind of injury. Because the jiu-jitsu injury, you might get choked, you might get your arm snapped. It is possible you could get hurt. I mean, you could always...
Embarrassed, really.
Yeah, or you could land wrong and fuck your knee up or fuck your neck up. It does happen. It is possible. But MMA or kickboxing, anything along those lines, Muay Thai. You know, I watched this Muay Thai knockout the other day. Oh, my God, it was fucking insane. Some guy from Thailand, I wish I knew who it was because it was an animated GIF that someone sent me. And this dude hits this guy with he's got him in the Thai clinch. He hits these guys with this fucking ridiculous knees to the body, like three. Boom, boom, boom. And they go into the ropes, and that dude hits him with a flying knee that is just the most perfectly timed flying knee. Snaps his head back. His body goes limp, and he just slides against the ropes and down to the ground. But it was just the poetry of it and the explosiveness of it, that just boom, 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 and he flies through the air, bang, hits him in the flying knee. Like, the fact that that could happen to you
the fact,
when you get in there
for reals,
with
man.
A guy who's training, I mean, you're just like hoping he doesn't know how to do that.
Yeah, well, especially this day and age. You know, I was watching the last UFC. and that what's his, I forget his first name, the Rodriguez feller.
Yair
and Northcutt.
Yeah.
I watched Northcutt, I watched Yair Rodriguez,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, what the fuck?
Well, you know what the difference is?
What the fuck is going on?
Taekwondo.
Taekwondo plus,
those guys,
but Northcutt's
have
been,
all the other shit, too.
Northcutt was this small. I did some research on this kid.
Oh, yeah.
He's this small. His dad has him fucking doing all this crazy stuff. I'm like, that's the future, man. And then I watched two... you know, I'm not going to say her name, but I watched two other guys who, you know, we're kind of in the same class. They're a little older than me. I watched them fight. After watching Rodriguez and Northcutt and then watching them fight, I'm like, I'm watching. I go, that's how I fight, man. What? It looked like you fucking went, oh, Throwback Thursday in the middle of the card. You know what I'm saying? Like, these guys are just boxing wrestling.
Right.
And then you see these young guys, and it's like, fuck, man.
Yeah. Yeah, did you see that, what is his name, Magomedov, the Russian dude that fought Sean Jordan?
Yes.
God damn, that guy can throw some fucking kicks. You see that front leg question mark kick he was hitting him with?
Yes, but it's more of a taekwondo point scoring. Like, no one's going to be scared of those.
Well,
I fight that guy,
punches.
It's like, yeah, kicks, cool, great.
Even his punches. I mean,
yeah,
he's
all
like the slapping
point,
you.
He's moving, he's moving. He's going to be in trouble when he gets in there with a killer.
Maybe.
Not that Jordan's not a killer, but a guy who can deal with that.
Maybe.
And hits for, because that heavyweight, I was almost a little bit of a point scorer where I had so much footwork and I touch and move.
Mm-hmm.
When you get a heavyweight who's going to, okay, touch, whack. Like,
right.
Hits like a heavyweight is when you get in trouble being a lighter heavyweight.
Maybe. What is he, 240? He's not lighter.
He was 236, I think.
Was he?
That'd be a lighter heavyweight. Anything under 240, I consider
Kane?
Lighter.
Kane's 240, and he carries a roll of fat on him.
Now, would you say Kane's a knockout artist? I wouldn't.
I wouldn't say he's a knockout artist, but... You wouldn't want to get hit by him.
But
Kane's also
not a guy who stands outside and points, moves.
Right.
Point.
No.
He gets the underhook, puts his head in your chest, and makes you do it. Does work.
Totally
work.
True.
Completely different fighter.
Magomedov seems to fight like more strategically, avoid damage first, and then land shots and don't drain your gas tank. You know?
I agree. Which is smart at heavyweight.
Yeah. So he's
to
like,
a certain point. Because then you're going to get a guy who's not going to play that game.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens to him as he moves up. You know, we'll see. What I'm impressed with is his technique, though.
I agree. His counterpunching was nasty.
That question mark kick does not have a lot of power behind it. That's a fact. But the fact that he throws it like that off of his front leg, Like, for folks who don't know how hard that is to do, that's that requires, like, some crazy dexterity. And to see that from a heavyweight is pretty rare.
For the listeners, most people will know Donald Cerrone for throwing mm-hmm. it. Donald throws it
yeah,
a lot.
He throws it
but
a lot.
But for a heavyweight to do it, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And, well, Donald doesn't throw it that much off his front leg, though.
Donald,
he can. Yeah. He certainly can.
But, yeah, he'll use the back.
But that guy was throwing it like a whip off his front leg. It was coming up and then swap. Mm-hmm. But just there wasn't much behind
it. That'd be my... His footwork, everything, his cardio is great, counterpunching, dope, everything. But you're going to get a heavyweight where they're going to make it count.
Sean Jordan is tough as fuck, man. You know, he broke his rib in that first round. He just went back to his corner and said, my rib's broken. You never saw it from his effort. You know, he never laid back, never put his arm over it, never tried to protect it. He had to gut it out while that guy was staying on the outside, landing combinations.
Yeah, that main event saved that card for sure. That main event was amazing.
Those guys like Sage Northcutt, though, and here's another one, Wonderboy Thompson. Wonderboy is the motherfucker right now.
He's a motherfucker.
Because everybody, like in the beginning, it was about taking him down and grappling with him. But now that he's been spending so much time with Weidman, he's learning how to grapple, learning grappling defense correctly, you're going to see more of what you saw in the Ellenberger fight. Guys that are forced to stand up with him.
True. Enjoy that.
Have a good time.
Can we call him a snake. Can we call him Wonder Man, though? Yeah. I think he's 34, 35. Like, what the fuck? Is there any way we can change that, Wonder Man?
He can keep it.
Yeah,
he keeps wheel kicking people in the head. He can keep it.
Does he have anything coming up?
I don't know. I think he's fighting. He got surgery. I know
the first
that.
Person to bring him in was Nate Marquardt in Denver. Nate met him through, I think, a church thing, whatever how that goes. So brought him down. He's just this badass in the gym, but had zero grappling. But mm-hmm. standing with him was a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
And then Nate told George about him, and then we see Thompson up north, and he starts getting his grappling in. And then when he got to the UFC. He was doing well with matchups, and then he got Matt Brown, right?
Yeah.
And that's when he got in trouble.
Yeah, Matt Brown beat him up, and he also was overtrained for that fight. He said he came in that fight real flat, and he knew he was in trouble even before Matt Brown. He's, like, not taking anything away from Matt Brown. He goes, I just could not recover.
It was a back-and-forth fight. Yeah, back-and-forth.
He survived, though. He made it to the third round.
He's a beast, man. That kid's now one to watch for sure.
Now he's so nasty.
I agree.
But what those guys can do... Guys like him, guys like Yair, and Sage Northcutt, rather. Sage Northcutt has that front leg kick that he throws, and he is very unusual because he stands orthodox and throws his front leg sidekick off his left leg, and it's a really good front leg sidekick.
So you've seen his previous fights. Was mm-hmm. he 7-0?
Yeah, 7-0.
So you saw the previous fights where he got in the UFC. I haven't seen anything besides...
I've seen a few of his fights.
Okay.
I've been watching him for a while. I've been hearing about him for a while, too. But what he's got is... An unusual, he's got a very high level of like karate and kickboxing and taekwondo, very high level of taekwondo skill, but then also ridiculous athleticism. Like he does front flips.
That's what I see out of him. His athleticism is different than most.
He does these front flips and lands on the tips of his toes and like gently comes down to his heel. It's not like a clumsy bounce. It's like this effortless flip where he knows exactly where the ground is.
Yeah, I stalked his Instagram. I saw him doing some crazy shit, yeah. Like carrying wheels and shit up sand hills. He's just a freak.
Look at this flip. I mean, it looks like it's like some moon landing shit. That looks fake.
He looks like a model too.
He looks like
what the fuck is going on?
Paige Van Zandt, if she was a boy.
Those two need to procreate.
No, they don't. That would be like some Uber race. Look at how he does that. That doesn't even seem real. That literally looks like someone's got wires attached to his hip.
That is insane.
Like, if you showed this to Eddie Bravo and put some chemtrails behind it, he would be absolutely convinced.
Oh, dude, he's going off for an hour for Northcutt and Octopus right now. But, dude, you know he's a student at Texas A&M?
Oh,
he's talking
God.
About dropping out to do fighting full time.
Nah,
probably man.
Should.
Nah, no way. Whoa.
Oh, you're
whoa.
Saying that because of pussy?
Yeah. No. Texas A&M. No, Johnny Manziel used to run that bitch.
He's fine.
Now it's you, Mr. Northcutt.
I don't think he needs any help. I think it's probably better if he takes breaks.
Nah.
Just a break every now and then.
You know, I think he's uber religious. So I don't think he even cares about that.
That's not good. That'll build up. Kid needs an outlet.
Yeah, those flips won't be happening like that after a while, man.
Well, a body like that needs to fuck.
You gotta unload that dick.
Yeah, you gotta unload that dick. That dick has to be exercised just like those quads.
100%. Don't sleep on that dick, Northcutt.
His wrestling's good too, though. I mean, he's not he's not like the best in the world at anything, but altogether, it's a nasty package.
He's good at everything, and his athleticism's gonna carry him so far.
And he's only 19. I mean, yes. Like, he's going to be so much better in a month.
You know what's a little scary being 19 and being in the UFC already? Is there, yeah, you can be champion, whatever, but let's say he loses three in a row.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not what's scary to me is that he is overmatched quickly. But
that's what I'm saying. We
don't know if that even can, like, look at Michael McDonald. Michael McDonald, 19 years old, fought Miguel Torres. Dude, McDonald, before he lost to Uriah Faber and before he lost to Henan Barao, was a motherfucker.
Motherfucker.
Right? Motherfucker.
Motherfucker.
Isn't that a perfect, it's a perfect example.
He can't do
what this kid can do, like with flips and stuff, but Michael McDonald knocks motherfuckers into oblivion
straight
with his punches.
Where's Michael McDonald right now? When's the last time we heard from Michael McDonald?
He's been injured.
For how long? Two years?
I think he got hurt pretty bad. I don't know what the injury was. I don't even know if
he was a motherfucker for a while. I'm just saying the only thing that scares me is, like, if we reference boxing, so a 19-year-old's going to have how many amateur fights? Fucking 300?
A lot.
Before they get to turn pro, right? This is, we're seeing Northcutt's amateur career right now.
Right.
With only 7 fights. What the fuck? 7 fights ain't shit.
Well,
so let's say he wins 3 and he's a star. Hey, my man. Or you win 2 more and you're a star. There's nowhere to go. We have to toss you to these monsters. There's no build-ups for 3 years. Trust me.
Yeah, you would know. That's an interesting point.
That's what's tough about the sport. Like, Paige, right? She's phenomenal. She looks great, speaks great. She has skills. Cool, man. Let's build this up. She can be your 115-pound champ. But she's won, what, 2 or 3 now?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, in that women's division, so thin, we're going to have to throw you some motherfuckers.
Well, how about the motherfucker? She's ranked 7th at the top of the list. Is a goddamn murderer.
Straight up murderer.
Joanna's a murderer. She's a murderer. I mean, she might be the best striker.
Definitely top five best strikers in the UFC, I'd say.
She murks chicks. She murks them. She does some horrible shit to them.
Straight up.
Yeah. And so I think, like, when you look at her, all right, before she gets into MMA, she's a 6-time world Muay Thai champion. That's her amateur background.
Exactly.
What she had to learn was just take down defense, defend yourself on the ground, and figure out how to get back up to your feet. That's what Krokop had to learn in Pride.
Yep.
You know, and I think when you deal with someone like Gennady Golovkin, perfect example, he's had like a fuckload of amateur boxing fights.
Insane amount. He turned pro at like late 20s.
And then he goes into the pros, and these guys just can't fucking compete with him.
Because he's ready.
He's so ready. He's on such another level. His technique is so sharp. And on top of that, he gets just this stupid punching power that everybody's terrified
of. Now, would we see Triple G, the superstar that he is now, if at 19 we said, all right, you got to go pro. Boom. Get it.
That's a good question.
It's tough, right? But the thing is, it's no one's fault. That's the infancy of the UFC.
Right.
That's just where we're at. But for someone like Paige and Northcutt, like with Northcutt, if I sat down, I'm like, dude, they offer you a top 10 guy? No, man. You're good. I'm telling you, bro. I called out fucking Brock Lesnar after I beat fucking Gabriel Gonzaga. You know what I'm saying? It's like, dude, what? I wish someone had been like, yo, Shab, chill, man. This isn't a fucking sprint here. We got to jog, my man.
The boxing system's like super established. You know,
that's what I'm saying. It's
been
no
around
one's
for
fault.
So long.
It's no one's fault.
But everybody knows how to do it. Like, they know, like, when a guy gets to a certain level, like, you know, Terrence Crawford or something like that, like, you give the guy some tests along the way, but you realize early on, okay, you're dealing with a really talented guy. This is what we're going to do. We're going to slowly build him up with some tougher and tougher fighters, and we're going to see where he's at. And we're going to sit down. Like, that's why trainers like Freddie Roach are so invaluable, because they sit down, they watch as these guys are fighting. They go, we got to get in with a guy who's a body puncher, and we need to see what happens.
True.
When he gets pressured, we're going to give him a test in this fight.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're trying to do is you're trying to build your fighter up. Whereas what happens in MMA, there's no like long-term structure, and there's no amateur structure that's like comparable to what boxing has. So it's really hard for people to get built up to the point where they come into the pro ranks with a very high degree of skill, unless they come from a different discipline.
Wrestling. That's why I see wrestlers.
Damian Maia. Who's fucking smashing people.
Ugh.
I mean, Damian Maia's jiu-jitsu is terrifying, but what was he? He was a multiple-time world jiu-jitsu champion.
Jacare,
same thing. Joanna, same thing. murderer, Muay Thai champion, six-time world champion. You know, I mean, across the board, there's so many examples. Johnny Hendricks, elite wrestler.
Yes.
Tyron Woodley, elite wrestler. I mean, you can go down the list. Cain Velasquez, Daniel Cormier,
Verdum.
Elite wrestlers. Yeah.
Like, you look at all the champs, Ronda Rousey, mm-hmm. Judo, Olympics.
Yep.
You look
yep.
at all the champs, yep. they have this extensive amateur background. Mm-hmm. And now you get these other guys who don't have that background.
Exactly.
It's such a disadvantage, man.
It's a giant.
It's no one's fault.
Yeah.
No, I'm not pointing any fingers
right.
at all. I'm saying it's an issue in the sport.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough, man, because I was talking with someone, I think with Kenny Floyd, and I'm like, man, I'd love to see Northcutt get like 8 fights in the UFC.
Yeah.
And just murk people and get comfortable. And we both agreed that that's not going to happen. Because he wins 4 in a row, people are crying for a title shot. And a reason for this is because of these freaks, these 1%ers that everyone compares everyone to, and that's like a Ronda Rousey. Mm-hmm. He just comes on the scene murking people, or John Jones. You're talking about most people aren't like that, man. Those are the LeBron James of our sport.
Yeah. Most people in the sport at the championship level are not like John
Jones.
That's
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Or Ronda. They're just
or
not.
Ronda.
Yeah. They don't have that mental game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And the extensive competition background before you ever get to MMA, I think you become like a champion already. Like, there's only a few guys. Like, Gustafson's a good example. Gustafson was a good boxer. You know, he was an amateur boxer, I believe, mm-hmm. before he got into MMA.
Correct.
But how much experience did he have in boxing? How many amateur fights did he have?
I don't think it's extensive. I don't think, you know, he's like a...
But he's obviously like a hair off the champion. You know, a hair off the John Jones fight, a hair off the Cormier fight. He wins that 5th round. With Cormier, he's a world champ right now.
I agree. And it's heartbreaking, man.
Yeah.
It's super... That fight was super heartbreaking for me.
That fight was crazy.
For Gustafson, because it's like... He lost to John, now he loses to DC. He's that guy, man.
Did you see the picture he posted on his Instagram
yes.
today?
And I saw you retweeted
almost made me tear up, dude.
I know, man. Me too.
You know,
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. But
I love DC too.
That photo. Yeah.
I love DC too, and that was a great fight. But now you got a motherfucker waiting.
Yep.
John Jones. And I don't know if you've seen his Instagram,
yeah.
but this motherfucker's motivated.
And lifting
weights.
He
was whooping everyone's ass 3 weeks of training. What? Now you're going to take coquina away from this motherfucker and drugs and make him lift weights? And now he's going to do a real camp? What the fuck do you think is going to happen?
He's going to have a hard time cutting weight.
Nah. He'll figure it out. Nah. He'll figure it out. What?
He looked big, didn't he?
Jacked.
Looks like he's getting ready for prison.
Jacked. Jacked. Jacked, man.
Yeah. He's the best.
He's the best.
As far as light heavyweights go, for sure. I mean,
it's not close, though, Joe.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I love DC. I fucking love DC. That guy, I love working with him. I love being around him. He's greatness at its finest.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have a son on the way. DC's a guy I can point to and say, be like DC. He's a good example. He's a great dude.
Right.
He's done it the right way. You can't say that about John, right?
Well, right now you can't. But John's he's a young guy. He's 27 years old, right?
Not that young. But the thing is with DC, he's like the Phil Mickelson. You know what I'm saying? He's like Phil Mickelson of golf. Where
Who's Phil Mickelson?
If Tiger Woods isn't exactly, if Tiger Woods isn't around, we're all fucking wearing Phil Mickelson shoes and shit right now.
Really?
Yeah, man. But Tiger Woods is that motherfucker. He was that 1% better and just beat him every time.
Wow. Sucks to be Phil.
I know, man. Suck. He's still making bank. He's still making bank and people love him. But
that's the difference between the UFC and golf.
You're not making that John Jones money.
Second place. You can still have a private jet.
Yeah. Ask Misha Tate how number 2 is doing behind Ronda. It ain't fun. You ain't sipping champagne with Dana White on private jet for number 2. Wearing Nike and shit.
Oh. Well, the disparity between number 1 and number 2 financially is fucking enormous.
In fighting?
Yeah.
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 Fuck yes.
It's fucking enormous. It's like there's no other place where it's bigger. You know?
Yeah. I mean, boxing, you could say that a little bit. Well, not really.
Do you know who I think is the biggest threat to John?
I'd love
Rumble.
To hear this.
Rumble.
Oh, I disagree.
See, I think Rumble... If Rumble gets his conditioning together, and I think Rumble had a real hard time in that Cormier fight, but the Rumble that you see when you saw him fight Jimmy Manoa, the Rumble that like You're smiling. Why are you smiling?
I'm smiling because you're like, man, if Rumble fucking got his cardio together, bro, and fucking got taller and longer, his reach.
No, I'm not saying that.
You're asking for a lot.
I didn't say that.
You're asking,
well, he said the guy reach that fought didn't help Gustafson when he fought Gustafson. He took Gustafson out in the first round.
True, with a headbutt. But the thing is, I love Rumble. Don't get me wrong.
They definitely
I love Rumble.
Did clash heads, but I think his head got hit too.
I'll
right?
tell you what happens if John fights Rumble.
What happens?
John takes him down, wears his ass out, and breaks him in the second round. Probably submits him or TKOs him.
Wow.
That's how good John is, man. And everyone's like, oh, Shab's a John Jones nut hugger. Nah, man.
He's very good.
I don't know what to tell you.
He's better than very good. Very good's not even a good enough description.
Yeah, I agree. He's by far the best. Like, there we have everyone, and then we have John. That's how fucking good this guy is. That's how bad he's beating people.
What if John had the kind of technique that Mighty Mouse has?
Fuck.
Kind
We're
of technique and footwork.
We're going to have to do like a Rumble match. Like,
what if
two
all
on
this
one?
Time off, John Jones comes out and he starts fighting like TJ Dillashaw?
Oh, my God. What? What?
Oh, okay. What do you think about this TJ Dillashaw thing? TJ Dillashaw moved camps to Elevation, Team Elevation in Colorado. And, you know, Uriah is, understandably upset, you know?
I knew this for weeks because he moved to my head coach, my old head coach.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I couldn't say anything. I don't want to break the news. I'm not fucking Ariel Helwani.
Someone's coming with cash? Is that what it is?
Yeah, Muscle Farm Gym is paying the UFC fighters now.
Ooh.
And so, yeah, TJ's going there. And I'll tell you what it does do. You ready for this one? It sets up Uriah. TJ, talk about a fucking countdown. What?
Yeah.
Reebok kits for everybody. What? You imagine that fight?
Do you think they would do that?
100%. They agreed
really?
They would fight each other.
They
and now
agreed?
Even more.
Wow.
Yeah, they've said previously they would be down for it.
So what is the Muscle Farm deal? Is it some dude with oil money or something?
I don't know what those
some
Muscle
guy
Farm
owns
boys
a diamond
do.
Factory somewhere?
I don't know. Well, I think what they're going to do is because they can't really be in the UFC anymore, so they came up with this plan. We're like, all right, we'll sponsor fighters, so we'll get all their Instagram and social media, and we can put our brand on them that way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Because since Reebok came, right? Like
that's pretty smart.
It's smart. It's actually pretty smart. I don't know how much they're paying them, if it's smart, but it makes smart to get their social media because I always thought about this because let's say you give me whatever, 10 grand to wear a t-shirt for one night for 30 seconds, or you can sponsor for the year and all my fucking social media and training, I'm rocking your shit. You can get way more coverage, man.
Well, you can today, too, especially with a guy like TJ, super popular, or someone like Ronda. Or, you know, anyone who's, like, very popular on social media.
True. You gotta be social media savvy, though. A lot of guys aren't.
Or you gotta have someone that works with you and for you, like a manager or something like that, who knows how to do that shit.
I used to hire a photographer, Eric Williams, beast photographer. And he'd come to my training camps, and he'd take all these pictures and send them to me at night so I could post them throughout the week.
But you would post them all yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people post all their shit themselves, and some people, like, some athletes and even some, like, musicians... You see, like, posted by team crews.
Yeah,
like, Tom Cruise has, like, a team that posts
it's
his
stuff. It's kind of lame, though, isn't it?
It's very lame.
Like, I think it's dope that social media allows people access to that they normally wouldn't have.
Yeah. That's
like,
what
like
it's
that's
supposed
dope,
to be all about.
The personal interaction, like, whatever. I'm not saying dick pics, but you know what I'm saying.
That's what it's supposed to be all about. It's supposed to be all about, like if you get a tweet from me, unless it's from a YouTube video, like the YouTube videos, when they get uploaded, they automatically generate a tweet.
Yeah.
But that's just the title of the YouTube video. There's no opinion in that or anything like that. If you get opinions or, hey, this movie was fucking awesome, I ate at this place, it tasted great.
That's you.
That's all me.
Joe Rogan.
100%. I don't want to let anybody else do that.
Dude, my manager one time, I forget which fight, it was like, oh, I'll tweet live for you during your fight. I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Imagine.
What are you, crazy?
Gross shit he would say.
One eye. No, hell no. Fuck no.
When I was doing a show, they wanted to take my social media. Sci-Fi wanted to take over my social media.
You're batshit crazy.
I'm like, yeah,
I would
mind.
Never do that.
I was like, you gotta be on drugs.
I didn't let my girl fucking see my social media. What? What? I'm not giving anyone my phone.
Arsenio Hall was at the Ice House one night, and I was talking to him. It was after a show. You know, he did the Arsenio Hall reboot, and after they did it for a while,
it's over now. Though,
it didn't
right?
work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it didn't work out or whatever. He's having fun. He doesn't give a shit. But he was like, I can't get my fucking Facebook back. He's like, they have my Facebook. And I go, well, you can't get it back? He's like, well, I had to give it to them when I had to give control of my social media.
Oh,
to the...
you fucked up.
Yeah, you had to do that.
Well, Kevin Hart was talking about this, how movies now tell him, like, hey, man, we need you to tweet out or Instagram the movie. He's like, that's not in the contract. If you want that, you got to write that. Like, that's extra money, man. this is a completely different machine. I'm doing the movie. You're paying me for my talents. If you want me to promote on my social media that I've built myself over the years, you're going to have to write this into the contract.
That's interesting, because I would think that if he did something that he enjoyed, he would want people to see it. So he would use his social media.
I think he's looking at like a business, though. Mm-hmm. I get it 100%. I get it 100%.
I do, but I also think, like, at his level, he must be making so much fucking money that, like, to say I want more money to use my social media presence, like, what the social media presence is really just going to do is alert his fans to some movie that he's doing,
which
is good.
To watch his movie. Sometimes you got to be careful with social media, and this is just me, right? To compare to Kevin Hart, I'm not shit. I'm a grain of sand. But when a company comes in and goes, whatever, we want to work with the fighter and the kid. I'm like, cool. Well, the deal's with me and Brian. I'm like, yeah, but we want your social media. To have me post this stuff, listen, man, fans, they hate that shit.
Yeah,
so
they don't.
It's a motherfucker, man.
They always want to figure out some way to weasel in.
Always.
Some way.
Always.
There's got to be a way to get in here. You know what? A lot of people are experiencing this. They're getting courted by these networks. Like, there'll be a network, like a podcast network will come to them and want to take a piece of the action, and get in return they would provide them with a certain amount of commercials. Like, really, they're not providing anything. But what they're doing is they're saying, by saying, you know, hey, we'll provide you with some commercials, we'll give you some commercial revenue. But by saying that, what they're really doing is they're trying to figure out a way where they can make money off of what you're doing, where you're doing it completely independently. Like, right now, what you're doing is you're taking your stuff and you're just putting it online. Now, you got to figure out that somehow, some way, someone is eventually going to figure out how to advertise that. So what they're doing is they're seeing, like, this guy's missing out on some money. What I'm going to do is I'm going to move in here and I'm going to take some of his – I'm going to give him some money, but I'm going to take some of his money where it doesn't make any sense that I would make that money.
Yeah, man.
They're giving away 50%. In some of these cases, where they're joining podcast networks, the network's asking for 50%.
I know people have done this. It's like, what are you thinking, man?
It's crazy.
Don't give anyone 50%.
But if you had a radio show, that makes sense. Like, say if you were on, you know, CBS radio, whatever, just for a name to use, right? And you had some sports radio show, and they said, listen, we're going to syndicate your show. We're going to bring your show across the country. And this is what we want. We're going to get advertisers in. We're going to give you 50% of the ad revenue, but you're going to make a lot of money. You'd be like, well, okay, that sounds pretty good. Sounds like a good deal. But there's no channels that people like automatically go to. What people do is they download podcasts that they like.
Yes.
Whether it's Radio Lab or The Fighter and the Kid or The Church of What's Happening Now, they go to what they like and then they get it. Like, the idea that you're just going to tune into a dial. 6:40 a.m. It's the Ghost. You know what I mean?
The ghost
morning show. You know what I mean? Like this. That is like you have a distinct location that people are accustomed to going to. They're going to go there.
Yeah.
It's like if you want ad space on Santa Monica Boulevard. Well, you know Santa Monica Boulevard is a well-traveled area. If you put up a billboard up there, it kind of makes sense. You have to pay a lot of money.
Yeah.
But if someone says, dude, I got this billboard. It's in the middle of fucking desert. I want a lot of money.
I want a fuck load of money.
I want half of what you make.
I need 50%.
I'm going to put this billboard up. Well, can other people get to that billboard? Yes. They just have to get in their car, and they have to drive out to the desert. Now, about the money.
So, me and Callan had a serious discussion because, you know, with the
show. No glory link yet?
No glory, no. Huh?
We're trying to find
it. Hating on us.
We're supposed to get a link.
With the podcast doing better, we're getting more sponsors, advertising, stuff like that. And we had a major, like, corporate sponsor come to us. Now, I fancy myself when I was younger, a couple of these products, especially with cheese and ketchup only, right? I loved them, man. I don't promote it now, but I could buy a lot with it. You know what I'm saying? But Cal was like, absolutely not, man. He's like, I would never tell people to buy this stuff.
Yeah. You can't tell people to buy that.
You can't. You can't.
It's because it's different.
After talking to Cal and I ran some stuff by you, it's just like, you can't do that, man.
Can't. Unless you love it. Like if In-N-Out Burger came to me, and they wanted to offer a sponsorship, I might have to fucking say yes.
I'll tell you right now, Chick-fil-A comes to me. What? Chick-fil-A?
They hate gay people. Do you know that?
Hey, man, I'm just trying to get a chicken sandwich. I'm just trying to get a chicken sandwich, bro.
Listen, they hate gay people.
Do they?
Yeah. Jamie's like, not anymore.
Not anymore.
Like, as if
not
the
anymore.
PR push worked. It only worked on Jamie. Jamie's the only one. Like, not anymore. He interrupts the podcast. Like, not anymore.
Not anymore,
not
brother.
Anymore. You don't even know. That's why... That's why.
Damn, so I can't eat Chick-fil-A anymore?
That's great. That's why those goddamn promos work. That's why those...
They got me and
those
Jamie.
Publicists.
I'll fucking take a chicken sandwich right now.
No, they're very rude about the gay people. They spend money to try to stop
really?
Gay marriage.
Oh,
like that. Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, it's been
that chicken
a
is so
thing.
Delicious. You've ruined my night.
Do a good job. It doesn't matter. You can still eat it. It doesn't matter in the long run.
I like gay people,
just because you have stupid opinions doesn't mean you shouldn't be allowed to make money.
True.
The problem is when they're using those stupid opinions. See, they're super religious, and that's one of the things. Religious people, they don't freak out about some things that are in the Bible. Like, you very rarely see religious people protesting against tattoos. But in the Bible, it very clearly says, don't get tattoos.
Yeah, we're both fucked.
We're both fucked.
Both super fucked.
But what's hilarious is there's a lot of people that are super religious that fucking tattoo religious shit on their body. You're not supposed to do that. Like, there's other stuff you're not supposed to, like, if you go Old Testament, you're not supposed to be eating pork, you know? You're not supposed to be, like, an animal, a split hoof that chews its own cud. Like, there's, like, you have rules, like, what you're supposed to eat and what you're not allowed to eat. And there's a lot of people that break those rules. There's a bunch of rules about divorce, and there's rules about property, and there's rules that people break in the Bible all the time. But for whatever reason, with really religious folks, that gay rule is a rule that they want enforced.
Why do they give a fuck?
It's weird. It's weird.
Like my good friend Joe Rogan said, maybe they're worried that dicks taste delicious.
Yeah, they're fighting off the gay for sure. There's some of them.
Fighting off the gay?
Fighting
well,
it off
sure.
Like a vampire, putting garlic around their neck and shit. It's also, I think they think of gay. This is my amateur psychologist opinion.
Love to hear it.
I think some people think of gay as being decadent and indulgent, in that this will lead to slovenly behavior and too much partying and fucking and guys sucking each other off and cumming each other. This is not conducive to a good, well-oiled society. Like, well-oiled society needs people to be buttoned down and conservative. That's why conservative people, they tend to dress with like suits and ties. They tend to let you know, like, look, we're gonna follow, I'm down with this agenda, okay? God, guns, country, I listen to country music, I got a Second Amendment thing. Like, they're so cookie cutter in the way they think. Yeah. That it's somewhere along the line, you're like, God, there's so many people that think along the same way. What is it? Well, this is an adoption of an ideology. They're adopting a way to think. They're adopting this hardworking American blue collar, you know, conservative, religious, God bless America. Put your hands over your heart. Let's all join in prayer. God bless America.
Don't you think they're doing that so they don't have to think for themselves?
There's a little of that.
Yeah.
There's a little of that. And there's also, you're subscribing to this ideology that would most likely, what you believe is, it'll most likely prevent people from acting crazy and doing stupid shit because they're going to follow God's rules. So it'll be easier to raise kids. Like, it'll be easier to have a family and just bring them to church on Sunday and you say hello to the Wilsons and everybody talks fake. You're all talking like your strip club
bullshit.
DJs.
Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Hey. Wilson. Look, hey, you got a nice new sedan there, Mr. Wilson.
Jimmy, come on down. Listen, man, people are looking at it all wrong. I mean, the more gay dudes, the better. More chicks for me, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Fuck
it. I think there's that, and there's also, like, this shit that I don't like. I don't like discrimination. I don't like it. I don't like any discrimination.
No, I hate it. Yeah,
it drives me nuts.
I agree 100%.
But in both ways, though, too, like, I saw today there was a Seattle yoga place that will not accept white men. Or white people or white men. I tweeted it earlier
what?
Today. Yeah. There's some
Yoga's
Seattle.
Yoga's white as fuck. Do you hate money? Who is this?
Yeah, I'll pull it up on
When's
my Twitter.
When's the last time you went to a yoga class? Like, damn, there's a lot of black people in here.
Well, it's not that common, I don't think. But some
I don't
people,
think so.
some of the black folks enjoy the yoga.
They might. I'm saying in general, if you want to make money, for sure don't kick out white people.
I think that's their point. I think they wanted something that's theirs. But to say that, like, that's, you know, to say that white people can't come, like, God damn it, you're missing the boat.
Yeah, you fucked up, son.
It just doesn't seem to make any sense.
Someone fucked you on your business plan.
Well, no whites allowed. It's whites. Yeah, it's only they only want people of color. They want to exclude Caucasians.
This is in Seattle?
Yes.
Kurt Cobain land? You're fucking up, man.
Yeah.
A lot of white people
up there.
A lot of white people. It's tough.
Well, you know, some people think that supporting black people is not racist. that just supporting, universally supporting black people is not racist, because black people have been oppressed, and that what you're doing is you're giving them a place where they can join in a community and feel like they belong, because they feel ostracized from the rest of the world, especially in Seattle where everybody's white. The problem with that kind of thinking is it's still the same thing. Are you saying white people can't come in? It's like still the same thing as saying like black people can't come in.
Yeah, man, that's racist.
It's racist.
Towards white people.
Yeah, it's just racist.
You know what? Just make your fucking yoga place just super inviting to blacks. Make it awesome.
Just make it awesome to everybody. And, you know, and if you want more black people to do it because you identify with those black people, reach out to them. But to say that white people can't come to your yoga class, that seems crazy.
It's worst idea.
Why would you not like people based on how much melanin they carry in their skin or their ethnic origin of their grandparents? It's fucking stupid. It's fucking stupid.
So
it's stupid if you're white, it's stupid if you're black, it's stupid if you're Asian.
Makes no sense.
It's stupid.
You're ignorant.
Yeah.
So what religion is Chick-fil-A?
Christian.
Fucking A.
Yeah.
That is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Chick-fil-A.
There's a bunch of Chick-fil-A stuff online. Like, there's people that were boycotting them and shit.
That's crazy, man. You know, I had a cousin who was basically beat to death because he was gay.
Whoa.
Yeah, man. So it's super touch for me. So no more Chick-fil-A Whoa. For me, even though I love that fucking chicken sandwich.
Yeah, see, that's fucking crazy. And that
he was on a
comes...
bus. He was on a bus, and he was very, like, flamboyant. And they jumped him and basically beat him to a pulp, and he went home and died later.
Oh, my
crazy,
God.
Right?
Jesus
Bummer,
Christ.
Man. Didn't mean to fuck up the flow of the podcast.
Jesus Christ. Where was this? Where did this happen?
Denver. He was on a public transportation bus.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, a bunch of dudes jumped him for being gay.
Did they find out who it was?
Yeah, they did catch him.
Wow. What happened to them?
I'm not sure. I remember I was in college at the time. My dad telling me, I was like, what?
Fuck.
It's fucking. And I remember, like, when I was younger, me and my brother pretty close to him and his brother Nathan. And then, you know, you do shit and you just fall out of touch. But I remember my dad telling me, I'm like, what the fuck? I remember being mad that I couldn't help him. It's weird, right?
The idea that someone would want to just hit someone because they're flamboyant, because they're gay.
What? I know. What the fuck is wrong with
people? It's the way they were raised. It's 100% what it is. It's the way they were raised. It's 100%. If you were raised in a community that didn't give a shit, that would be like no big deal. Like if okay, let's just say us, like all of us in this room, like you, me, and Jamie, if we had our own little community and one of us had a kid and another one of us had a kid and we found out Jamie's kid is gay, do you think you would want your kid to beat up Jamie's kid? Would you say you got to kick their ass? Would you promote that kind of thinking?
But
never
know.
Way. No way.
No way.
It would never happen. It wouldn't be possible. But when you get enough fucking idiots in a city, and you get enough really narrow-minded, bigoted people that have these shitty ideas about other people's sexual orientations or the way they choose to wear their clothes or whether they choose to be goth or whether it's anything, whatever it is. If it doesn't affect you, is it poisoning your pool?
I know.
Are they killing your vegetables in your garden? Like,
fuck?
What is going on with you're upset? And you're raising people to have this fear of it, and then they're interacting with other people at school, and they all have this fear of it, and they all want to let everybody know that they're not like that. And one of the best ways to let people know that you're not like that is to attack people who are like that.
It's crazy, man. Think about I had a transgender person on our show, Caitlin Beck, and she was saying
Kristen Beck.
Good, save my man, Kristen Beck, and she was saying she's walking down the road and just group of five guys came from behind and beat the shit out of her. Shit happens all the time. Transgender, it happens all. It's their number one concern.
Oh my God.
Walking down the road getting beat up.
And she was a Navy SEAL.
She was a Navy SEAL and gets her ass whooped.
That's a crazy situation, man. To be a Navy SEAL, full beard, badass, American killer out there.
I think it proves that they're wired like that. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? Like, no one chooses, like, oh, I want to take all this on. And it's, especially today's society, what? Yeah, I want to take all this on. I want to be gay and have people criticize me and all this shit.
Some people are certainly wired that way.
I think some are, yes. And I think some
yeah.
choose, but I think a lot of people are born
yeah.
that way.
And you know what? Here's the other thing, though. The people that do choose, that's their choice.
I agree.
They're
have
allowed,
fun, man.
Yeah, they're allowed to have that choice.
Get weird.
Yeah. It's like, if you want to be Debbie now, that's cool. You know, whoever the fuck you want to be, I don't give a shit. Again, same thing. If it doesn't affect me, I don't really care.
I agree 100%.
The people that do care, though, they're scary. They're scary to those folks, to a folks, someone that's transgender or someone that's flamboyant or black, you're in the wrong place, you're black, or white. If you're in the wrong place, you're white. There's people that will beat the fuck out of you because they feel like you got a fucking easy hand because you were raised white.
The world is crazy, man.
There's bad people in almost every single demographic. You're going to find people that, for whatever reason, they got to where you are in a fucked up way.
Bro, curveball, not to change subject, but you think fucking humans are a motherfucker? Watch National Geographic for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Mother Nature is a motherfucker.
Yeah.
To another level, man.
Oh, yeah, dude. Is this live?
I got it. Well,
we got it?
Yeah, I have it. It's done now, so we can start
the whole thing's done?
Yeah.
The entire event?
They're getting ready to start it back up at 8 o'clock Pacific time, but
For Cali, West Coast?
We can go back and watch this on DVR.
Well, let's watch it now.
So we can start it whenever you want.
Bring it.
Bring it. So Joe Schilling already fought?
Yeah, the whole thing's done.
Wow, that's crazy. It's not even 8 o'clock.
Yeah, it's like a four-hour event. So
but Denver...
It's in Denver. That's weird. They're only an hour.
Okay, well, let's see it, because...
I should probably start with the main card, though, right? Or do you want to watch the... We don't want to do
Well, we could do whatever the fuck we want now. We got power, Jamie.
Yeah, dog.
Glory Kickboxing. This is this podcast going to morph into a fight companion, because my good friend Joe Schilling is fighting on that card. And he's in the main event against Jason Wilnes, who's a bad motherfucker from Holland. Two really, really good kickboxers in both world championship level. Joe Schilling, of course, he's been world champion. He beat Artem Levin, who's the current Glory world champion. He won that fucking crazy four-man tournament.
Crazy.
Artem Levin, man. Those guys, they had to fight, was it three times or four times in a day? Three times, right?
Three times. That.
Horrible kickboxing fights.
He had some rough fights.
Oh, yeah, man. The first one with Simon Marcus, where it went to the fourth round. At three rounds, they were a draw, so they went to a fourth round, and Schilling knocked him out in the fourth round. It was fucking crazy. That was round one. Can we get some volume, Jamie? I don't think Glory will be mad.
Where you want me to start?
Give it.
This is one of the early ones.
Yeah, this is just the whole four-hour event. I got to figure out where
starts. Yeah.
Hours, Jesus
like
Christ, that's a lot of
kids. Yeah, let's get a let's get this this screen over here. Give us the data of who. Oh, that's is that.
I can't do that with this.
You can't.
I'm using the computer for the video.
Oh, that's right.
Watch it again at 8 and 20.
Oh yeah, because
okay.
We're on a link.
Kevin Von Nostrand.
A lot of Denver boys on this card being in Denver.
This is a tough place to fight.
Denver can be tricky.
When you're, not like Mexico City. Mexico City is the trickiest of tricky. That's why it's going to be interesting to see the Cain Velasquez-Verdum rematch.
In Brazil?
Yeah. Are they going to do it in Brazil? I don't think that's confirmed. Is that confirmed?
I'm pretty sure it's confirmed. I feel like you would know better than me.
Well, I don't think it is, honestly.
I feel like it is.
I talked to Javier Melendez.
How long ago?
Javier Mendez the other day.
Okay.
It's a couple days ago.
Man, I thought I was in
Brazil. I hear Mauro Ranallo. I like his commentary on these events. He's great. He's gotten so good from doing Showtime boxing, doing the Floyd Mayweather fights.
He's really, really good.
He's excellent.
I love the Showtime crew.
Yeah.
This feller with the tattoo on his back trained with us in Denver at Grudge, J-Ho.
I like that tattoo. That's dope. It's American as fuck, son.
Super American.
Got a goddamn John American flag on his back. You were talking about nature being a motherfucker watching the
bro. Nature my God, I had to turn it off, man. I don't do well seeing animals die.
Horrible shit.
Horrible shit, man.
Yeah.
I saw this mountain goat getting chased by a snow leopard. Snow leopard chased him all the way down the cliff.
Ooh.
Grabbed him by the ass, about to eat him at anus first.
Ooh.
He got away. Instead of dealing with death and the fucking snow leopard, fool just jumped in the river, died, committed suicide.
Oh, my God.
Baby deer just born, and this fucking wild pack of dogs is coming. The mom pieces out. This baby deer can barely stand. Eight, done. It's intense, man.
Yeah,
nature does not fuck around.
More than half of all the moose and deer that get killed in Canada, they get killed right after they're born by bears.
Dude, I was depressed
wolves,
as fuck.
Coyotes, shit like that, right after they're born. You know, that's a big thing, too, about grain. You know, a lot of people think that they want to live a life where they're not involved in any death. And that's noble. You know, you don't want to cause any animal suffering. I get it. I totally understand that idea. Even though I hunt and even though I eat meat, I totally get why they feel like that. But there's a reality to commercial grain. And one of the realities of commercial grain is, you know, those things, the combines, those things that they churn up, that they cut the wheat with?
Yeah.
Those things are indiscriminate. They kill everything that's on the ground.
For sure. Everything
they kill
that's
rabbits, and they kill a lot of fawns, too, because fawns, when they're young, when they're newborn, what they like to do is stay put. So if there's anything coming, what they do is they just stay put, and they kind of hide, and they get ground up by the combines. It's super common. Rabbits, rodents, ground nesting birds,
everything.
All of them get ground up in those things. There's almost no way, unless you're growing your own food and you're growing your own vegetables and you're there for the whole process, you make your old compost, there's almost no way to leave no footprint.
How about that elk you shot? You just posted today. What's the deal with that thing?
I shot it.
Was it
Wednesday morning?
5,000 pounds?
1,000 pounds?
It's enormous.
It's a big animal.
Literally a giant animal.
I'll show you another picture that's even more crazy of it. Where
would
you get a sense
would you
of
hit
it.
Shoot him with a bazooka?
A bow and arrow.
Straight bow and arrow?
Yeah. Yeah, man. A lot of work went into that.
A lot of skill with a bow and arrow.
Yeah,
I respect
for
bow
sure.
and arrow more.
Well, it's
it's come from a guy
a
who's
lot of
never
dangerous.
Shot a gun.
Look at that. You got to look at
God
how big
damn,
it is.
He's huge.
Hanging off of a tree, we're cleaning it, you kind of get a sense of how big it really is. That's how we got it into a truck, too.
He's huge.
Yeah.
He's probably...
It's a 1,000-pound animal. It's enormous. And they get bigger. There's some of the, like, 12, even 1,400 pounds. The really enormous ones, especially at Tejon Ranch. And, by the way, they're not even the biggest. Moose are even bigger than them. Moose are giant, dude. There's moose in the Yukon that are 1,800 pounds.
Dude, that thing is fucking huge.
Imagine something twice as big as that. That's a moose in the Yukon. Literally twice as big.
Then what do you guys hang it? Then you and your friend cut it?
Well, first you back the truck to it, and then they put it into the back of a pickup truck. And then we took it to a cooler, like a walk-in cooler, and then the real work begins. Start
that's when you get your hands
quartering
dirty.
It and taking pieces off of it.
And you brought it home?
Brought most of it home. Some of it is at a butcher shop that's getting... turn into sausages and shit.
And when you shoot
want
it,
some elk sausage?
Yeah, I'm down
delicious.
With some elk sausage.
High protein, son. Might wake up in the middle of the night with predator dreams, though.
Yeah, I'm not mad about that. When you shoot a thing like that, how long does it take for it to die?
That was pretty instant. It was a perfect scenario. It was dead within a minute. But, you know, that's one of the things about the discipline of getting better at dealing with the nerves, getting better at aiming, making sure your archery skills are on point, or your rifle skills for that matter. Like rifle, you could injure an animal rifle hunting too. Super, super important that you work really hard on it. It's also just so fucking nerve-wracking, man.
Really?
Oh my God.
Well, this is my thing though. With that fucking giant elk, if let's say you nick it, you miss or
and
whatever,
gets mad at you,
it heads your way.
It's your ass.
Really?
Yeah, you're fucked.
An
if
elk?
It decides to, oh yeah.
I'll slap that shit out.
Oh, you think you will. Do you see the antlers?
I did see the antlers.
Dude, it's a tree. It's got a tree
I'll go
growing
behind
out
a tree, bro. I don't get why it's so tough.
If you could go behind a tree, you could pull it off. But
just keep going around the tree, old
stuck,
school style.
If you got stuck in an open area and for some reason, he got to you first.
You're getting fucked up.
You're getting fucked up. It happens. It's not that common because they're usually scared of people. They try to get the fuck away from you.
I
Where
bet.
It really happens is more with bears. With bears, it can really happen for sure.
And moose, right? Aren't moose aggressive as shit?
Well, they're definitely aggressive if you wound them. Steve Ranella, my friend from that show Meat Eater,
yeah.
He got run over by a fucking moose on his show. Dude, it was crazy. He told me about it after the fact, and I watched it on TV. Like, the way he described it, it sounded crazy. But then watching it, you're like, oh my God. He shot the moose went down, he thought the moose was dead, came up on it, and then the moose got up, and he went, oh shit, he's alive. And he went to shoot him again, and the gun misfired, which is so rare.
Yeah.
It's so rare that you pull the trigger and nothing happens. So he had to rechamber another round, and in the process, this moose comes behind him and sends him flying. And there was blood on him, and he couldn't figure out if it's his blood or the moose's blood. He's like, he's feeling his body to see if he's been punctured. And he got nailed. By a big-ass animal.
One for the moose.
One for the moose.
But so then, did the moose get away?
No.
Of course not.
No. My buddy Ryan was there. Ryan Callahan put a bullet into him. What happened? We lose our feed? Yeah. Let's move ahead anyway.
Glory.
As far as glory.
Yeah.
but, you know, just nature being dangerous, nature being ruthless. We're so... so insulated from it. That's why people have these beautiful ideas of what animals are and how people fit into the food chain. We're so used to getting our dirty work done for us.
This is true. You got to bring me sometime, man.
Oh, I got you. You want to come? I'm sending Everlast out. Everlast, he totally unrelated. He didn't even know that I got back from hunting, and he sent me a text saying that he wants to hunt, and he wants to you know find someone that'll take him through it. And so I set him up with this guy Brian Meadows, who was my guide this past weekend, or one of my guides. And he, one of the guys that works there. There's like a bunch of like really good guides that work at this one ranch. And he's going to do like a thing with him where he takes him out, shows him how to shoot, shows him how to, you know, sight in the rifle, and then they're going to go hunt pigs.
How long is this?
Pigs? A couple days, yeah. Fuck, man. Well, you don't like pigs?
I want something a little more danger, you know what I'm saying?
You ever see a wild boar before?
Yeah.
Dude, they have wild boars on this ranch.
In Texas?
Tusks. No, Tejon Ranch. It's up north. North of here, like an hour and a half. Not far at all. They have some photos. I'll show you some after the show.
Yeah. I should be a little scared, wild, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, wild
Otherwise,
boars,
it's not fun.
Wild boars sound like monsters. We were there. The first time I was ever there, we were passing by this really thick, these thick grasses, like high, tall grasses, like weeds and grasses. Like it was like 4 or 5 feet tall. You couldn't see inside of it, but you knew there were pigs in there. And so we're walking down this dirt road, really slow and quiet. So they don't even know we're there. And we hear them fighting. Like, it sounds like there's demons in there tearing each other apart. They're fighting for some reason. They're making all these crazy boar noises. I was freaked out, dude. I was definitely freaked out by wild boars. Did you see that movie, that TV show Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
The fucking king got killed by a wild boar.
Giant boar.
So he got him.
I've seen like one Game of Thrones.
Oh, damn. That dude just got dropped.
Another Denver kid.
We don't even know who's fighting. Who's the guy in the orange trunks?
That's the Denver kid.
Can't
remember his name, though. Trained
this is over.
Yeah, he's jacked up.
Yeah. Damn, that kid's good. Little hairy armpits, though, huh?
Yeah, I agree. You got to trim those up, man.
That's old school. I like that.
I like that.
What does his bush look like? Probably ridiculous.
See that dick, my man. So you see that doctor? You see that doctor in the ring? They just show him with glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Check this story out.
There's Bang.
No, that doctor on the left.
Mm-hmm.
Check this out.
Uh oh.
So he was the
doctor. In trouble right now?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Horrible story though.
Jamie, do we have any more of these things? We have regular coffee, don't we? Didn't you make regular coffee?
I use some myself.
Just coffee. No butter. No bullshit.
Yeah. So that doctor, right, he goes on a family vacation. Wife, 3 kids.
Oh, shit.
Peep it. Wife, 3 kids, and fucking Subaru Outback, whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
They go, he's in Wyoming. They go, don't drive. There's a flash flood warning.
Uh-huh.
He goes, ah, fuck it. We can get through it. Drives, flash flood warning through this thing, takes the car over. Entire family dies except for him.
Oh, my God.
3 kids, 3 little kids and the wife.
Oh, my God.
I'm just full of fucking. Who brought the good news beer?
Today.
Who brought the good news beer? Hey, yeah. Man, I didn't know they were going to show the fucking guy.
Well, Jesus, you didn't have to tell the whole story.
It's intense, right?
That's pretty intense.
So then Shane Carwin and a bunch of us did like a fundraiser for him. Ugh, horrible.
Again,
man.
Nature is a cruel, cruel bitch.
Nature does not give a fuck.
We found an elk that got murked by another elk.
Damn it. Elk on elk crime?
Elk on elk crime.
That's rare, right?
Nope. Real. Super common.
Fuck.
They fight to the death sometimes.
God,
they stab each other with their giant antlers. Right. That's what the antlers are for. But occasionally, you know, sometimes they just get scarred up and they have cuts on their...
Yeah, I've seen them like headbutt and shit on TV.
Maybe rams. Because they tangle antlers. Like deer and elk and moose, they tangle antlers. That's what the antlers are for.
I'm trying to suck on those antlers for that what is it, IGF-1 or some shit people were doing?
You want the velvet.
Yeah, I want to suck on that velvet.
Yeah. The velvet, deer velvet and elk velvet, it was like a real hot property a
Super
while
hot.
Ago. It was such a hot property that what they were doing was at the Sevier. There were farms in Alberta where they were growing this shit. They were growing elk just to use their velvet. And then the process, for whatever reason, became less and less valuable to people. And the amount, that stevia is super weak. Just pour a bunch in there like it's sugar. That's like the worst stevia. Jamie got it from the dollar store.
God damn it, Jamie.
But So this guy spent like $1 million investing in this elk farm, thinking he's just going to cash in on this deer velvet.
On the spray and shit?
Yeah, from the elk. And nobody gives a fuck.
It's a terrible idea.
Well, he thought it was going to be a gangbuster business, but the business dropped like, right after
he bought
it.
Is this the same guy that opened up a fucking all-black yoga studio in Seattle?
Oh, those poor fucks. They're getting attacked. They're getting attacked online, too.
Damn, they showed this fool's record set 3-5.
That's a weird thing.
That's
you know?
Tough.
Like, where that's bang on bang, you know? Bang, bang, on bang. Bang He's bang. That guy that... this guy's tough too, man.
That guy's 3-5, they said.
He's tough. The guy bang bang on bang is the guy that what is his name? Who did he fight? He fought somebody recently, had a really good fight. I'm trying to remember. But he fought Raymond Daniels, and Raymond Daniels hit him with that spinning flying 360 sidekick to the face.
Love it.
Yeah, he jumped with the front leg sidekick, like a flying sidekick, and then he touches you with that and spins and clipped him right on the chin and sent him to La La Land. Oof. But Ombang's tough as fuck, man. The other guy I think is from L.A. I think he's a he might be from the yard, I think. Oh, shit, nice knee.
How much do these boys make?
Not that much money, man. I'm sure Schilling makes good money.
Like, is Schilling making good money tonight, being a headliner? Does anyone know or no?
I don't know. We're guessing. I'm just guessing. You know what? I just root for glory. I love kickboxing. I've always loved kickboxing. I love Muay Thai, too. I root for Lion Fight, too.
I almost watch every Lion Fight, every Glory.
I watch every one of these.
Me too, man. I don't miss much.
Especially Lion Fight. I like Lion Fight because they use elbows.
I like Lion Fight. A lot of time there's a lot of... new guys on there, and they go for fucking broke, man.
They seem to get a lot of, like, high-level Thai guys, too.
Correct. And they fly him in against, like, an American or
something. Joe Nawad, have you seen Nawad fight? Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. He's nasty.
I know we've said it before, that Tiff Time Bomb, man.
She's
beast.
Very good.
If we could just
good.
Teach her some takedown defense, mm-hmm. You got one on 115.
Yeah, she's very good.
Enjoy that, ladies.
Yeah.
Whoever's Joanna, she talks some shit about Joanna's stand-up,
she
too.
Said she's basic.
Ooh, basic bitch. Basic bitch. Oh, we got something. Look at me trying to start something. Ooh.
Oh, what are you having, Diet Coke, bitch? Basic bitch.
Basic bitch. Stupid basic bitch.
What do you got, a fucking blueberry muffin with your coffee, you basic bitch?
Is there anything worse than called a basic bitch if you're
it's
a girl?
It's pretty ruthless, man. It's, well, being called anything, you know, but having someone define
basic
you.
Bitch?
But having someone, like, limited defining you like that, define you, you're limited. It's hard. It's hard out there. It's hard out
that's
there.
That's the worst.
Yeah, man. It's worse.
Enjoy your coffee, you basic bitch.
But for a girl, though... Does a girl have to be more than basic, or could she be basic and hot?
Oh, that's tough. Well, see the hot factor, you know?
Well, yeah, man. It's like that's nature right there.
That is, man.
But nature
people want to hate on it.
Nature
you
likes
know?
That hip-to-waist ratio.
Hell yeah, we do.
Nature's a big fan of titties. They're universally accepted. It's not like there's a place in the world where you have a perfect set of tits and people go, ugh, get those out of here. There's not a single country where men don't look at juicy tits and go, oh, yeah. They're totally useless.
Juicy
they don't,
tits.
They don't do anything for you.
Yeah, they don't
they
make
don't,
sense.
They don't increase pleasure unless you're fucking them, unless you're titty fucking. But you see them and your brain goes, oh, yeah.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's nature.
There's bags of fat.
Bags of fat with nipples that you can suck on, and they gently put. And if they have weight to them, and the girl's riding you, and you could like hoist them up and suck on them, like, oh, everything gets so exciting. Why?
Because they do nothing. They do nothing.
Nature. Nature wants you to have a wife that has some big old titties, so that when your kids need breast milk, these titties are down to produce.
Yeah. Big ass titties, dudes are like, yes.
Need fat, need big hips and fat and asses and legs that look like they can run and jump. So you have kids that inherit those traits.
Yeah, man.
If you see a girl with like weird hips and her ass is flat,
flat
she walks
ass.
With a stumble, you're like, oh, no.
Beat it, basic bitch. I call them basic bitches.
Beat it with your flat feet.
Your flat feet, flat ass.
Why can't you walk straight?
Dude, flat ass. There's nothing worse than a flat ass.
Yeah, I don't mind if a girl has small breasts.
No, we'll figure
it
out.
There's a lot of really hot girls that have small breasts.
Well, I have money. We'll figure that out.
Well, it's not even
you know what
that.
I'm saying? Well, you know what I'm saying? If he gets serious enough, I'll cover this.
Would you, though? Would you want to? Or would
100%. Hey, shop sponsor.
You take that over. What would you take, though, if you had the option between a girl with a really nice ass and nice legs and small natural breasts or a girl with a pretty decent ass, pretty decent legs, but big fake titties?
Bro, ass all day because all I can day. Fix the titties. Because they haven't.
But what if she didn't want to fix the titties? What if that's a deal breaker?
I'm going to have to move on.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. I'm not that fucking
mean. You are not kidding. You just said.
If you see my girl, she looks like she's from planet Pluto. But the thing, it's so fucked up. But the thing is, they haven't figured out a good way to make ass implants. Like, you see a fake ass, it's the worst thing you've ever seen.
There's a difference, man. There's a difference. The ass thing, it's like, there's factors, right? The titty factor is like, the nurturing factor, like that's the attraction, is that she'll be good at nurturing. She has breasts but the ass thing is like an athletic body. It's like an exciting body. Oh, Ombang's getting fucked up. This dude who's 3 and 5 is teeing off.
Said, bitch, I'm 4 and 5, you basic
Boom.
Bitch.
Oh, yeah, yeah, he's 4 and 5 tonight.
Four and five, oh, motherfucker.
Man. I like the fact. Oh damn. Shit. I like the fact he's done.
He's done.
I like the fact that they throw knees. I do like that. I'm glad they can still throw knees. And I think they're allowed to hold only with one hand, though. That's it. This fight's over. He's taking it.
He's done. Yeah, let's go ahead and call this a day, everybody.
Wow, he's standing up.
Worst knee I've ever seen, yeah. Overeem Fujita.
Ooh, yeah,
remember that
bad.
One? I thought he killed him. Overeem killed a guy.
Overeem Teixeira. Did you ever see that one?
Yes.
Eruton Teixeira with the crazy dreadlocks.
Yeah, man.
He hits with a knee, and that dude's like he went down like he was dead.
Dude, Fujita, he was in the ring like, there mm-hmm. it goes, face is encaved. Like, he's so fucked up.
Yeah.
And that's Uber Ring. We're not talking about normal Over Ring now, where it's like, we don't know if he's going to win. We're talking about fucking Japan Over Ring.
Well,
good
Japan,
luck with that, everybody.
Japan Over Ring, once he hit that, like, K-1 Grand Prix heavyweight status. Yeah.
The fuck is going on?
They dug up Nazis that had special science.
Just some shit.
They brought it into the lab. Well, this dude fought
four
very
and five.
Well. What is his name? Do we know Jamie?
Good for him, man.
Yeah. I've seen this dude fight before. He's good. That was like a big victory. That was very impressive. Ombang took a beating.
There's that doctor, bro.
Looks like Ari Shaffir.
Got his ear pierced.
Well,
maybe he's wiling out.
I'm sure he is.
400%.
He's got some weird chains on his neck, too.
Open chest.
Ah,
bummer.
Hey, he's trying to make it happen. How dare you? How dare you?
Dude, if I was like Joe Rogan, Scrooge McDuck rich, I'm hiring scientists to build fake asses like no other,
You don't
bro.
Want a fake ass, though. It's like
what happens if a girl has a flat ass?
Tough life. It's hard out there. You don't breed. Just like what happens if, you know, in the wild, what happens if you have unfavorable characteristics?
You get ate up ass first.
That's how it goes.
Bro, but what if we could prevent
that?
It's
the way of the world. It's the way of the world. But how you can't prevent that with a piece of plastic.
Yeah, you can.
The way they're going to prevent it, no. You can give the illusion that you're preventing it, but you know that ass is fake. It's the same thing with lips. Lips, you can't do to lips what you did to tits. They found a crazy loophole with tits, and it works. They snuck in with the tit implants, and everybody's like, well, hey, we could do it there. We could do it everywhere. But you can't. It only works on women's tits. It doesn't work on guys' tits.
Dude, I'm not mad at the
guy gets tit implants.
Women's lips.
Girls don't want that shit.
Some women's lips, I'm not mad at them. They get a couple.
Okay, we're going to have to talk off the air.
We are.
Yeah.
We really are.
This is nonsense.
This is craziness, bro.
Who is this young gentleman here? I've seen him fight before.
Not a full crowd yet. This isn't the main card, is it?
No. Robert Thomas, Jeff Radoff. This is early in the card. This is early.
22, youngster. Yeah. My boy on the right is jacked at 34.
I think he's flexing.
Makes sense, though. Right?
Don't you think he's flexing?
100%.
He's got a beautiful beard, though, and a mohawk. That's rare in fighters.
He looks fresh off the set of 300.
I think they're going to fix it with gene therapy, dude. That's the real fix. This plastic they shove in your ass and make your ass stick out isn't fooling anybody. The same thing with your lips. Like, why are your lips bigger than all the surrounding tissue? That doesn't make any sense.
They
like,
fool me with the lips. They fool me, bro.
Might be a little bit basic.
You know what? I might be a basic bitch.
I like lips. I think girls' lips are like really important when you're kissing a girl.
Fuck
and you feel,
yes, for many of reasons, Joe.
You know, but you're, if you're feeling like a rubber thing under there, I can't think that would be good. It just looks weird too.
Not if it's done right.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong.
There's a lot of good doctors out there.
I hope so, but I think that what you're seeing now is like this. It's the beginning, like when they were. When they thought they could put, like, feathers on people and have them jump off cliffs, and it didn't work out.
It's a horrible idea.
No, well, eventually it became an airplane. Like, somebody had
okay.
to keep
I thought you were saying, like,
trying
okay.
with that thought until they got it right. And now, you know, you get on a Virgin Airlines jet to Boston, and you fucking got the beautiful red
legit.
Mood lighting. You have yourself a champagne. It all started from some asshole with a bunch of feathers who thought it could jump off a cliff.
Yeah, true.
It has to start there. And right now, these girls that you're looking at with these crazy fake lips and these plastic plates in their asses that make their ass stick out. What they are is the dude with the feather jumping off the cliff.
Yeah.
And their unfortunate demise, when they get tangled up in the branches of the tree below, their unfortunate demise will make people innovate.
True. I'm with you, man.
This fight
I hope I'm around for that.
Who do we got here, Jamie? Oh, damn. This dude from Canada just landed a beautiful knee to the body. So we're watching these fights. If you're watching these at home, you might not even be able to. There's no way you're going to sync this up.
There's
but
no
we'll
way.
We'll try to sync it up once we get to Joe Schilling, Stitch Him Up, who is a little bit later on the card. Once we get to Stitch Him Up, we'll tell you exactly what time it is, and you can sync this thing up later.
This fight's in, I think, McNichols Arena. That's old school, man.
Is it?
Super old school.
Where's
That's
McNichols?
Where one of the first UFCs was at.
Do you miss Denver at all in any way?
You know what? No.
Wow.
It's weird, right? I go back and I feel like I'm in a country western, man. Denver people are going to hate me, but it's whatever, bro. It's true.
It's my favorite spot.
Oh, there's some great spots and I have great family and friends, but you could not pay me to move back there, man.
Really?
I will never leave LA.
It's my number one choice.
Comedy Works.
Outside of California, Colorado's my number one choice. Either
well, you
Evergreen,
used to live there.
Yep. Evergreen, Boulder, or Denver.
You know
those
why,
are my
though?
Three spots.
You love that nature shit.
I love that nature
shit. I don't,
shit.
Bro.
You don't like it.
I'll hunt with you, kill some shit, but then I want to go back to Marina Del Rey, jump in my Porsche, and do some weird shit.
As I've gotten older, I appreciate nature way more and more. I feel like it's like something that I just didn't appreciate enough until I got older. Like, I think when I was younger, I was always concentrating entirely on doing whatever I'm trying to do, whether it's fighting or getting into comedy,
true.
Getting my career in line, you know, like becoming a professional comedian. And then, you know, all the things that I've ever done, I've always been concentrated more on them than anything else. And then as I got older, I started, what brings me pleasure? I started thinking, like, what do I enjoy being around? And one of the things that I enjoyed being around was beautiful nature, like to see a mountain. Like, I remember going to, Jesus, I don't know where the fuck it was. Like, one of the first. You know what? Here, one of the big ones was going to the Aspen Comedy Festival, man. I went to the Aspen Comedy Festival, I want to say, like, 2002. I think it was, like, 2002. Mm-hmm. And I was in Aspen, and I was driving with this dude who worked for the festival. And he was telling me how he has elk off of his back porch. I didn't know elk screamed. I had no idea. I didn't know a goddamn thing about
scream.
Elk back then. They scream. Elk bugling? You never heard of elk bugling?
Nah, man.
I recorded some of it from my trip. This is real shit that happened this week.
Hey, so, elk, make it easier to kill you. They scream.
Oh, they're not easy to kill, man. They're especially with a bow. They're hard. But what it is that they're trying to get some pussy. So they call out to women to let them know that they're ready to fuck. And they also call out to men that they're ready to challenge them. And they do battle. Like, I'll show you some pictures of this dead one that they found.
Damn.
It got stabbed up. He got murked by some other fucking bull. And they're big. These are 1,000-pound animals.
Just like the one you killed.
And bigger. As big as the one I killed.
Things fucking
the
huge.
The one that died was bigger than the one I killed.
God, Doug,
bigger.
Who killed him?
Some badass bitch. Listen to this, though. This is what it sounds like.
Hope it sounds like a grown man yelling.
Hold on a second. Here it is. Listen to this. You hear that? That's the guy trying to call them. He's making like a cow call. But listen to the sound that they make when they respond. It's like a monster. That, That high pitch shit, that's the guy making the call. Now listen to them. You hear that?
Almost sounds like orca whales. Damn.
They scream at each other like that. That really loud one was the guide right next to us with the call. That's one of them screaming.
Damn.
That was an elk. How weird, right?
Then do you listen to that and find out where they're at and just destroy them?
Well, you got to sneak up on them.
Yeah, but when at least you know where they're at.
You sneak up on them, and then you hide behind stuff, and you make calls like a cow. So they think they're going to get some pussy.
Fucking basic bitch elks. Too easy, man.
They come screaming, too. When they come towards you, that's one of the most nerve-wracking parts about it. They're like...
Because they think they're about to fuck.
Exactly.
Dick out.
They're like, what's up?
What's
up? They come all over themselves. They piss all over themselves and come all over themselves. They're like, their whole underside, when you find them and they're rutting, is just covered with like cum and piss. They're all wet.
They're looking for a good time.
They're partying.
Fuck, man. Yeah. You guys just, hey, what's up? Oh, raging boner. Boom. Dead, bro.
It is rude. But it's also how mountain lions find them, too. When we were in Colorado, one of the guides I was with told me that they had found this mountain lion on top of this elk. And they found it by following the path that it took once it dragged the elk. So what he found was, like, you could see the mountain lion footprints, and then you could see the elk footprints, and then they collide, and then there's no more mountain lion footprints because the mountain lion is riding the elk's back.
God,
so you got this 1,200-pound elk, and this 150-pound cat is on its back biting its neck, and it runs like 100, 200 yards with this cat on its back, and then it piles up, and then the cat eats it, and then they catch the cat on top of this thing.
You know what, man? I think the reason why I don't get down with nature and mountains and stuff, because I grew up in Denver, man. So I was going camping all the time. I was shooting arrows when I was young and shit. So I'm over it, man.
You're over it.
No, I love the ocean. I can't get enough of the ocean.
Yeah, see, that's it. You're experiencing the new nature. The next. I mean, the ocean is... I rented a place in Malibu for like 3 months this last summer. And I would wake up every morning just looking at that water going, whoa.
I feel like there's nothing
it's
better.
It's crazy.
Love it.
It's crazy. It's a crazy view. And it's a morphing view. Like in the daytime, it's inviting. And it's at nighttime, it's terrifying.
Terrifying. And black.
That's the only difference. The only difference is you can't see.
Right?
Yeah.
Would you ever live in Malibu?
I don't know if it's wise to buy a home next to the water. I don't know if it's wise to spend several million dollars for a house that's stuck in the sand right in front of the lip of the ocean. You want to talk about basic bitches? Like, are you not paying attention to the entirety of the human history that's been recorded about the changing of the Earth's atmosphere and about how, you find cities that are underwater that were like Roman cities and shit? Now they're underwater. Why are they underwater? Well, they're underwater because the ocean moves. It expands. It's not stuck there. It's not going to stay exactly where it is.
If you're looking for an investment 2,000 years from now, yeah, probably don't buy a house in Malibu. However, for when you're alive, you should be fine, Joe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Maybe, but maybe not.
I can almost guarantee you
How about
be fine.
What happened in Japan? That shit could happen in Malibu. Tsunami? Any day. Any day. I have a friend who lives in Pacific Palisades. He's got a nice sweet spot up a hill. And I go, why don't you live by the water? You got a lot of money. He goes, tsunamis. I go, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, they happen. He goes, they might not happen, but they happen. And when they happen, guess what? What are you going to hear? You're going to hear a horn in the middle of the night? I sleep with a sound machine. I have a sound machine next to my bed, play sounds of like birds and shit so I could sleep. That's what he said. He goes, I'm not drowning to death.
God damn, that's dark. I mean, fuck, bro. I live right on, I live on the marina. The way they sold me, they're like, if a tsunami comes, this thing... It tilts.
Oh, yeah.
I said, really? I'll take it.
It tilts.
Listen, take it.
Save all that tilting shit. It's going to fill up with water.
Nah, I'm high up, man.
The real tsunami, the real bad motherfuckers,
the
continent changers,
right over.
It's going to drown it. It's going to be all underwater. Like, the idea of, like, 500 feet of water up and down, that's nothing. In the history of the world, that shit's happened thousands of times.
Bro, just happens. You're not a real estate agent. Fuck's sake.
I'd be like, look, what you really want to do is you want to be on top of the mountain looking down, and you want to have a raft up there.
Yeah, man.
You got to have, like, Noah. Like, you have the ark.
Bro. I don't know if that's a reason not to live by the beach.
No. The beach is terrified. Awesome. It's still awesome. If you were, like, super baller, like Richard Branson type character, you really ideally want two houses. You want a house at the top of the mountain. No, you want three. You want a house at the top of the mountain. You want a fat place in the city.
True.
And then you want a spot on the water.
That's how you
want
to do it, man.
If you're going to be a fucking super baller.
Scrooge McDuck style.
Yeah, but you got to have, like, you know, fucking Shell Oil type money.
If you think? Do
it right. A lot of money in having three mansions.
Oh, I'm not talking about mansions. Maybe
houses.
Have a condo downtown, like a dope-ass penthouse.
That's a good move,
yeah,
right?
Man.
I'm not a big fan of living downtown because of the goddamn traffic, but, you know.
It's tough, man.
It's brutal.
It's brutal to get down
downtown's
there.
Downtown's ruthless, but.
I would never live downtown.
But it's kind of dope. Like you could walk around downtown now, and it's like these
it's
cool
spots. It's
cleaning
up, and LA's putting a ton of money into it. They want it to be like the hot, new hot spot, so it's a good place to buy.
They got
to
kill bums.
They're going
to
have to kill
way.
Some bums. They're going to have to kill some bums.
People are like, what the fuck you said? We're kidding, folks. We're not kidding.
Well, I'm not kidding. If it raises the property value, we're going to have to get rid of them. No, I'm just kidding.
This guy, first of all, this dude from Canada is a motherfucker, dude. The guy in the black shorts, is he from Canada?
The
youngster, he is, right?
22?
Yeah. Dude, he's badass, man. This is a tough fight. That other dude is taking some serious body shots. Third round here. I just think that the bum thing is it's all bullshit aside. You know, obviously I don't think you should kill him, but when you stop and look at him, it's a horrible indictment of how flawed our current system of community is. That our community allows people to get so disenfranchised. There's an entire whole ecosystem of people in downtown LA.
No, I get that. I look at them, they make me sad.
I think people don't know what we're talking about. Like, if they've never seen Skid Row. Like, these people that are listening to us, oh, you're being so mean about homeless people.
Nah, man.
This is a different thing.
It's like Walking Dead, but imagine all the zombies in one place. And they will eat your dick off. for crack.
It is really crazy. It's one of the craziest things you'll ever see.
There's a ton of them in Venice, too, man.
Oh, yeah.
A ton in Venice.
Yeah. They get uncomfortable, too, when you're at those Venice beach spots.
Yeah,
where
man.
Where they gather and, you know, they want money from tourists, so they start begging.
Yeah, it's rough.
Well, there's a lot of crazy people. That's really what it is. It's a mental health issue.
That gets thrown around a lot for everything, right? I think some of them are mental health, and I think some are just like, fuck it, man.
Yep. I think also, though, saying fuck it, though, is a bit of a mental health issue.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just called giving up?
I think even that is mental health. Like, don't you think it's healthy to have good friends? It's healthy to be a good friend. It's healthy to be in love. It's healthy to be fulfilled by your pursuits in life, whether it is, you know, your artistic pursuits or athletic pursuits or your career pursuits. Those are health issues. It's like, isn't it healthy to exercise, right? That's a physical health issue. He doesn't exercise.
That's
well,
a
then
choice.
He's not, right. But when you talk and consider physical health is dependent upon choices. It's dependent upon dietary choices, and it's dependent upon choices that you make as far as like how much exercise you do. And that's your health. I think mental health is the same thing. I think there's aspects of mental health that are undeniable, just like there's aspects of physical health that are undeniable. Mm. There's people that are born with horrible physical diseases, and there's not much they can do physically to overcome those.
True.
And there's all sorts of deformities and all sorts of real problems that people have that are physical. But then there's also people that are just fucking overeating, lazy fucks, and they develop heart disease. Well, isn't that a physical health issue? Well, it most certainly is. And how that physical health issue manifest itself? Through choices and decisions and your actions.
True.
And so then it becomes a mental health issue as well. So it's a physical health issue, but it's also a mental health issue because it's your mental health that is out of line that allows your physical health to get so fucked up.
But also people's experiences in life, I don't know if I'd say it's mental a mental health issue where they have an issue with their brain, you know what I'm saying, where it's chemically different. Sometimes they might not have had the same opportunities as other people and just say, listen, man, fuck this. Like maybe they lost a family member. Maybe they lost their job. And it's like, you know, I'm sick of this shit, man.
Yeah, that's true.
I think there's some of that.
But I think that could be considered a mental health issue.
I think I have a problem with people chalking up everything as mental health. Like these random shooters. It's always a mental health thing.
Yes.
Right? Oh, it's a mental health thing.
You're right.
Man, that's an easy getaway. They might just be fucked up, man. Bad people.
Yes.
Can we chalk some things up if people are just evil, man?
We could, but that also is, I think, could be considered a mental health issue. And I think the word mental health, we get thrown around like, we look at health and disease and issues like that are where you're not balanced and in order. We look at it like, oh, Jimmy caught gonorrhea. Well, that guy's got a disease. He needs penicillin. But if you're just a lazy fuck that eats like shit and eventually your heart gives out, you have heart disease. Mm-hmm. And that is a physical disorder. It's a physical disorder that came from you not having discipline
for whatever reason, making
poor choices. So it manifests itself in a physical condition. It could also manifest itself in a mental condition, because you could be at a point where, are we giving up on that feed? Is that what's going on?
So I got a lot of messages just saying that was the prelims and that the main card is going on now live.
Oh, nice.
On the West Coast.
So it was just the prelims
live? I had
the
link from their website and that was what it was playing. So the main card supposedly is live now.
When they were saying that we were watching the prelims.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. So, okay, now that we have that, let's put up the card
on the switch.
But I think the word disease is an issue and the word health is an issue, because it's really like we categorize things like health and disease, and we get real rigid with how we look at them. We look at things like health and disease, like people that have disorders, when you have addictions, when you have compulsions, when you have negative behavior that you can't help but keep continuing to repeat over and over again, self-sabotaging behavior, that is a mental health issue. When you have obsessive, like you're a stalker, you start stalking a girl, you won't leave her alone, you're obsessed with her, you check her Facebook, you check her, like that obsession is a disorder. Like you could call it a mental health issue, you could call it a behavioral malfunction.
True.
But you're not healthy mentally. And so it is a mental health issue. Like, if you go into a school and you shoot people, 100% you have a mental health issue. 100%. 100%. The issue is you can't be mentally healthy and want to go and shoot random people just so people know your name. You can't want that. If you want that, you are mentally unwell. And so I think when we look at things like, oh, it's not his fault, he has a mental health disorder. Oh, that's just a cop-out. Well, no, he's responsible for whatever that disorder is, but he most certainly has a disorder. Like when someone's a rapist, Bill Cosby, okay, he's got a mental health issue. It doesn't exonerate him. It doesn't say that he should be free and no one should prosecute him and, you know, he should somehow or another be treated instead of locked up.
Yeah.
No, that's not what I'm saying. But you have to have a mental health issue in order to drug women and fuck them when they're unconscious. You have to have a total disconnect for feeling about that woman's health, her safety, her physical solidarity or physical her ability to like own her own body and own her own consciousness, like for you to want to bypass that with a pill so you could stick your dick in her, like you have to be mentally
unwell.
What
if he was raised that way?
Doesn't matter. Because you can be mentally raised to be racist, like we were talking before.
Yes.
Or you can be raised in a mental pattern where you're homophobic. All those are absolutely 100% possible. But at the end of the day, you're still mentally unwell. Like, you're mentally unwell because of the way you were raised. You're mentally unwell in spite of the way you were raised. It doesn't matter. You're mentally unwell.
Mm.
Like, and I think if we look at behavior like, overall, like what is conducive to a happy experience for you and the people that you encounter? What is conducive to you being fulfilled in your life and having great friendships and great relationships? What is conducive to that? Well, if you move towards that and you try to eliminate all the errors that you keep repeating and making and you recognize those,
then
that's
healthy.
That's healthy.
Well, this is the thing though. So if I am have mental health issues, there's a lot of negative that comes with it, right? So if I, whatever, have this weird inclination to molest boys or whatever, for whatever reason.
How dare you?
Well, for whatever it is, or to rape girls.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
It's going to be tough to get help, right? Because you have this negative connotation with it.
Sure.
So that's why it keeps going on.
Well, that's,
you know what I'm saying?
Certainly a part of it. And
also, there's no, and I'm not promoting any of this fucking bullshit, but I'm just saying there's no like safe house for them, right? Like they can't go up and be like, hey man, listen, I have this weird fantasy where I fucking love to molest little kids.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, what? You know what I'm saying? Like there's no outlet for them.
It's true. I mean, to have a fantasy where you victimize small children is like the most taboo and forbidden fantasy ever. You can't even jerk off to that.
But if you have that,
you can't even
fucked.
Pretend.
You're super fucked.
Well, say if a guy, say if you're married, right? And, you know, maybe your wife puts on a few pounds, but you want to stay married and you don't want to cheat on her and, you know, she doesn't want to have sex anymore. Or maybe she's older and she gets the menopause and you just go into your garage or wherever the fuck you keep your porn and you whack one off every now and then. Just whack one off to stay sane.
Yeah.
Everything else is great. But when you're closing your eyes, you're whacking off and you're looking at porn. You're looking at some dirty girl with a tattoo on her lower back and she's sucking dick and you just want to come in her mouth.
Sure.
See, you're allowed to indulge those fantasies if you're a man. Like if you're a guy who has no chance whatsoever of banging some super hot porn star. You could still jerk off watching her fuck. You can still,
that's what you like.
Yeah. You could still jerk off watching someone just hold their hair and just mouth fuck her. You can do that and no repercussions. Like, you could never have sex with that girl ever, but you could jerk off to her having sex and have no repercussions.
Because that's your taste.
Right. But if your taste is like young boys, like twinks, like 15-year-old twinks,
tough, my man.
You have nothing.
You're
Everything is
Subway.
Illegal.
Yeah.
It doesn't even mean that you want to go out and have sex with those young boys. Like, or you plan on having sex with those boys, like, you can't even jerk off to them. So it leads me to question, like, what happens if in the future they figure out virtual reality? Like, they get virtual reality to a point where it's just, you can't...
Anything goes.
Anything goes in virtual reality. So you have these artificial young boys that blow you. Will that be illegal? Because no one's getting hurt there. These artificial boys are made out of 3D polygons. They're connected together with some visual video effects engine.
It's hard to argue because it satisfies the urge, right? And they're not doing it to actual humans.
Yeah, right. But you want to eliminate that urge, though. You want to cut it out of the society.
Okay, so what do?
You
kill these
bud.
Guys? Yeah. All right, I'm with you. Them and the bums.
I think you might have to.
Them and the bums. Them in the bum. See ya.
I wish there was a way to just rewire you. I mean, in all
I bet they
fairness,
do too. I bet a lot of people do who have all those issues.
Of
a lot
course.
Those real dark people
yeah.
who are unhappy, you don't think they wish they could be rewired?
Sure, man. Even gamblers. You ever
Shit,
meet a guy
I'll take
who's
some
like a crazy gambler?
A few things.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting. Someone was talking to me about this fat guy that I know, and his wife was saying that it's kind of crazy because... First of all, that guy, what's his name, Halsey? That is the biggest 185-pounder.
That is a large human
that
being.
That guy's gigantic for 185.
Oh, I like
Michael
this
Page.
Michael. Yeah, I like
oh,
that
he's,
Michael
he's
Page.
Ridiculous.
He's fun to watch.
His talents are almost wasted in that division that he's competing against. He needs to fight like
he's
a much
bombs.
Higher caliber
yeah.
of fighter.
He's collecting paychecks.
What was I just saying? What were we just talking about?
Oh, you have a fat friend.
Oh, and his wife was like, here's the difference between being addicted to anything else. Like if you're addicted to cigarettes, you stop smoking cigarettes. And then, you know, you kick the habit. But if you're addicted to food, you have to eat food.
It's a legit point.
It was a very legit point. And I thought about it. And I went, whoa.
It's a super legit point.
Obviously, I don't have food issues. I don't have, a real food addiction. But over the last 9 days, I quit eating sugar. Lost 6 pounds now, as of today. 6 fucking pounds. And I'm not trying. Like, I'm just eating normal. I'm
and
doing
not,
the same.
You're not doing more cardio or
nope,
anything?
Nope. Same amount. Everything's the same.
Workout's the same.
Everything's the same.
But you were getting your sugar from where?
From
these fucking mango
dude.
Things, which
no,
I
those
just
are
ate
natural.
A bag
no,
full
those
of?
Are, oh, the mango things. Yeah, I thought you were C2O. C2O is just delicious and sweet, but that's natural. That's just the coconut
so if it's from fruit
water.
Or whatever you
Yeah,
good.
Fruit's fine. I've been eating bananas every day, and I eat oranges and apples. I eat a lot of fruit. But, like, those mangoes, those chili mangoes are so goddamn good.
I haven't ate much today. I came in, I saw that bag, and I thought, you know what? YOLO. Fuck this.
YOLO.
When's the last time you heard YOLO? I don't know why that came out of my mouth. I don't even talk like
that. It's got added sugar. That's the problem. It's not just the sugar from the dried mangoes. They put sugar and then the chili sauce together, the chili pepper together.
Mangoes from heaven is what I say.
So good.
Heaven dust? Oh, you mean sugar? I'm fucking addicted, man.
So I go 9 days in, and I decide I'm going a month in. I'm going to see what happens when I make it to a month.
You know what, though? You're a real disciplined type of dude who can do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you stick something, you're fucking sticking to it. That's one thing I know about you.
I definitely do. But what I'm thinking is, while I'm doing this, I'm like, man, I don't even have an issue. And this is, like, overwhelming my thoughts, like, a lot of the day. Like, where I see, like, a hot dog with a nice white roll, a white bun, that white bread, I'm not eating any of that shit. I'm not eating that. So I see that hot dog with fucking sauerkraut on it. Ooh, you ever go to Home Depot and they have the hot dog cart in front of Home Depot?
Bro, those things are so fucking good. Motherfucker.
They get me. I'm in there for a hammer. I'm trying to buy a hammer. I'm not trying to buy a hot dog.
Dude. I end up walking out with that hot dog and a churro. And then they got that churro, and I'm like, fuck it. You know what?
Disneyland gets me with them goddamn churros.
Bro. Churros and the funnel cakes. I got Mickey Mouse ears on and shit, feeling like shit.
I'm done, dude. I'm not no sugar for this month. So I'm gonna see what happens, and at the end of the month, I'm gonna see how I feel and what I look like.
This is I'm assuming everyone in your household's this way.
Yeah.
Because if they're not, you're gonna have troubles.
No, I'm not gonna have troubles.
I used to date a girl who I was trying to eat real healthy, but she literally had crazy genetics. She would eat fast food every night, so I'd be like eating fucking broccoli and chicken. She's balls deep in a 12-piece chicken nugget. You know what I'm saying? It's tough, man.
It is, but when I get it in my head, it doesn't matter. You can eat pizza right in front of
me. You're a beast with it.
Well, I have switches. I have like, okay, now you don't do this anymore, and that's it. And once I don't do that anymore, I don't do that anymore. Because then if I do it, if I give in, that'll permeate itself in the rest of my life. That'll leak itself into my comedy, leak itself into my workouts, it'll leak itself in everything.
Do you do that with your social life? If someone fucks you over, you're like, you're dead to me. Off.
Yes, yes. As soon as
I would assume.
As soon as they, like, you will run into people that will, like, either sabotage you or do a bad business deal with you or try to fuck you in some way. And, you know, you can't hate them. I forgive them, like, as a person, but I won't associate with them anymore.
Ever again.
No.
Yeah, there's no.
Yeah, no. No, no. Yeah. I mean, you'd have to, like, have some insane apology with a real explanation, and then, you know, we'd probably have to work our way back to a friendship real slow.
Yeah.
But when someone fucks you over, you can't tolerate that, because those people become problems, and those people, that's a pattern that, like if you have a friend, and, like, especially, like, you hear about friends going into business together, and then, like, they start a restaurant or something, and one guy fucks off with the cash, and they wind up fighting each other.
Yeah,
like,
man.
My stepdad and he had a business partner in an architectural firm, and they beat each other up one day.
Should have beat each other up?
Like, he came home, and he had a black eye, and he was, you know, in his 40s, and I was a kid, and I was like, well, first of all, I was like, I was fighting back then. I was bitch has zero skills. It's like, this, like, what did this fight look like between, because I knew his
basic-ass stepdad.
Oh, the worst. Yeah. But it's like, he's a good guy. He wasn't a bad person, but I knew the guy he fought with, too. I'm like, that's even more ridiculous that guy gave you a black eye, because that has to be
insane. Think how mad they were, though.
They were so mad. Well, it was a very complicated situation where they had government contracts, and then the government lost money. Like, there was a recession, and during the recession, they canceled a lot of their contracts. And so these guys had put all this time and work and effort into these projects, and the projects were pulled out from under them, and all their investment was done.
Super fucked.
It was really bad. And, you know, they all, I'm sure there was a lot of blame on both sides, and who knows what the fuck happened, but it's weird when you see someone come home.
Your stepdad got sucker punched.
He's got a black eye. I'm like, what?
Huh?
Earth? Like, if I was Brendan Schaub, I'd be like, for sure, keep your hands up next time. For sure, don't let them get that close to you.
Bro,
talking shit to each other.
I saw my dad get in a fight when I was 12. I'm not making this up. Whatever, fucking cars, right? My dad pulls in front of him. He pulls in front of my dad. He gets out. My dad goes, "You want to fucking go?" My dad's like,
"Oh no!" Like an old school Irish boxer.
Like, oh no! I remember being like 10 or 11, being like, "Ah, oh, fuck, man."
See, the problem with that is Nick Diaz can actually fight like that.
Oh, my dad beat the brakes off this dude.
Did he?
Son, yeah, was about to throw him off the side of the highway.
Oh, no.
In a leather jacket.
Oh no!
Yeah, did not fuck around.
When a guy stands out like that, starts doing the old school boxing, one of two things can happen. He's trying to scare you off, or he's so good with his hands.
Yeah, dude.
He's just kind of roll at you like, "What's up, dude? You want some?"
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah. What you gonna do now?
It was weird,
You're
man.
You're in a bad situation.
I'll tell you what. For reals, man. I remember my dad getting on the car. I'm like, "God damn it." And then my brother gets out, kicks the guy in the balls from behind. My brother's probably 12 at the time.
Jesus Christ. You know, your brother kicked a grown man in the
grown
balls?
Grown man in the balls.
Oh, that's when it gets really dangerous, because the kid gets involved and then the father becomes like super violent.
You know what Little Brown was doing?
What was Little Brown
crying
doing?
In the back seat.
How old were you?
Probably like 10 or 11, crying in the back seat. Ugh, can't be trusted if shit goes down.
Oh, man.
Crying.
I never saw my stepdad fight, but I saw him almost get in a fight once. We got in a minor car accident, like a little fender bender, when I was like 8 or 9 years old. And I was these young kids in this other car, and they got out swearing and yelling. And I was like, oh, no. I was so scared.
So scared.
I was so scared, because he wasn't a tough guy either.
Please tell me you cried.
I felt so vulnerable.
Did you cry or no?
I don't know. I might have. Yeah. I don't think so, because I don't think it got to the point where anybody hit anybody. So I would definitely have cried if they hit each other.
Yeah.
I would have been terrified. But that's how people die. You know, that's how people wind up killing the whole family.
Like, true, man.
Knock the guy out. The guy falls, hits his head. You go, "We got to get rid of the family." And then they murk your wife.
Everybody.
Murk your kids. That shit happens. You know, you run into the wrong biker gang.
True,
you know,
man.
And they're methed up and trying to prove their hardness.
For sure.
Weird shit happens.
In your car, but...
You know, you're the wrong race. You know, you're a black guy, and there's a, you know, you have a white girlfriend, maybe. Who the fuck knows, man?
Yeah, man.
Anything can happen. How about transgender people? How about a transgender person gets in a car accident with a bunch of fucking amped up dudes?
Oh, they're fucked.
Yeah. I mean, and you're on a dirt road somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and you just decide to beat this guy to death.
Dude, I need a gun. For reals, man.
If you need a gun.
I need a fucking gun.
Most people really need a gun.
Oh, yeah. That should alarm everybody, because I can fight.
Yeah.
People need a gun.
Right? It's a weird thing out there. You could run into the wrong people. And I've had people say that to me, like, "You're so paranoid. You know, like, why do you want to learn martial arts?" Like, I had this conversation with Mark Maron once about this. You know, it's like, well, is that really going to happen? Like, are you really worried about it? Like, I've seen it. Like, I know bad people. I've seen people do bad things to people.
Yeah,
I've
man.
Seen people hit people when they didn't have to.
Yeah. Tim Kennedy said the same thing, because I asked him, I'm like, "Why should I have a gun?" He's like, "Because if shit goes down, you want to be prepared, man." He goes, "I never go anywhere without a gun." He goes, "Because my wife and my kids are depending on me." He goes, "So what happened if that guy has a gun? And yeah, I have all these fighting skills. What the fuck am I going to do?"
Yeah.
He goes, "I would never let them down."
And he's, you know, world-class fighter.
World-class. And he's saying this. I was like, damn, I need a gun.
But he's also...
I tried buying one off the black market.
Why would you do
from
that when
him,
you get one for
from
real?
From him. And he was like, "Get the fuck out of here."
Yeah, don't even say
that
you
was
tried.
A joke. It was a joke.
Yeah, lie. We lied. Yeah. We just lied?
Yeah. Okay, 100%. He made fun
but
of
But you
me.
Can get one, you know, legally,
you got a
fairly
guy?
Easily.
You got a guy?
Yeah,
no,
well,
I'm
just,
winking
it's
at you.
Not
got a
hard.
Guy?
Yeah, wink, wink
guy?
Back.
Wink
it's not
back.
Hard. Wink, wink, wink. It's not hard to get a gun in California. It's
I
one of the weird things.
Paperwork and shit. And
not hard.
Do I have to take lessons?
No, that's what's crazy.
Oh,
whose
man.
Phone is that? Is that mine or yours? How
definitely not mine.
You don't have to like fill out paperwork. At least you didn't when I did. I mean, for paperwork as far as like take a test.
Yeah, you know, just kind of give me the goddamn thing.
It's not hard. Like hunter safety. Like when you take a hunter safety course, you do most of that online, and then you go and take like a class.
Is there a way class? Yeah, I don't want to do that. Is there? I'm gonna go black market. Is there a is there a waiting period
for what?
For a gun?
Rifle? Yes, yes, sir.
Not a rifle.
Federal.
I don't want a
handgun for any kind of firearm. There's a gun. There's a waiting period. They have to find out if you're crazy. They have to find out if you're a felon. It's running from the law.
Come
they have
on.
To find out if you're really Brennan Shaw.
Google
might
me,
be
bro.
Some...
Give me a goddamn gun.
Google me, bro.
Give me a goddamn gun.
You could get a gun, man. It wouldn't be any problem. But Joey Diaz can't get a gun. Joey Diaz is a felon.
That makes sense.
Yeah, if you're a felon, you can't get a gun.
Yeah,
it's tricky, man.
I love Joey Diaz,
but
it makes sense.
If you just look at his record on paper.
Yeah, it's tough to sell that guy a gun.
Well, it seems like a questionable move.
Legit. I mean, there's reason for the law.
You watch his podcast. You ever watch that the morning thing that he does?
Where he gets high, the morning joint. Yeah. Oh, is he still on Periscope?
Yes.
Yeah. I stopped fucking Periscope, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. People got super excited about it, but the excitement waned.
It went away, and I was like, hey, you know what? I don't like it either. And then Facebook's doing video streaming, you know.
Really?
Yeah. They're on video streaming now.
That's right.
For however long you want.
Dude, we should start streaming on Facebook.
That's what people are saying. On Facebook? And cut out the middleman, YouTube. Mm.
Well, YouTube's not bad, too. YouTube, we make money off YouTube. Make money off ads. They play ads.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. You can make money off videos. I make money off my haters' videos. People make mean videos about me. I put ads on them.
Tight move, Joe Rogan. Tight move, man. Shit.
That's fun money.
Keep on keeping on. Yeah, keep hating.
Ultimately, I mean.
Do you get that much hate, though?
Sure.
Really?
Yeah, sure.
I don't see it.
Oh, you got to look around.
I don't see it. Well, I don't look at forums people, and shit like that.
If people hate every show that is on the air, there's going to be a certain percentage. Like we were talking about, like you have a guy like that was talking about that Milo guy, but even you or even Callan or anyone who I love, there's going to be a certain percentage of people that fucking hate them, can't stand them.
Yeah.
There's just, everybody's not for everybody. That dude went down from those fucking leg kicks, man.
Some big boys.
That dude on the left is throwing some nasty leg kicks. That white guy's getting ate up. He's down from those leg kicks.
Some really big boys.
When you see, like, good high-level kickboxing, it makes you realize, like, a lot of the kickboxing that you see in MMA, especially, like this level, it just doesn't compare. Like, look at what you're watching here.
Yeah.
These guys are going, whoa. That guy's holding himself up.
Homeboy wants out.
Yeah, he does.
Kick one more time. Kick one more time, son.
That left leg kick.
Yeah, for sure don't bend over like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, when he kicked that left leg, you could see that thunderbolt of pain go up into his dome. Yeah, people hate everything, man. There's somebody out there that hates fucking Led Zeppelin. Somebody out there that hates Bob Seger. There's somebody out there that wants Billy Joel to jump into the river and drown in his own feces.
As long as it's 60-40, you're good. But if everyone hates you, you might just be fucked
up. I don't even think 60-40 is good.
40-60?
I think what's probably good is like 80-20 or 70-30.
Yeah, it should be on the higher end for sure. Otherwise, you're just a dick.
60-40 is like, maybe you need to tighten up your fucking game a little bit.
Tighten it up. You suck.
And it's also like there's like a problem with doing things like a podcast because you're talking and you might have an opinion that is not the same as the person who's listening to and they can't talk back and it's fucking frustrating. Like you're talking some shit about like maybe some music that they love or some food that they love or whatever the fuck it is and they're listening and they get mad. Like I'm fucking tired of listening to this bullshit. You know, you fucking idiot. You don't know shit. And it's because it's an intimate relationship but it's very one way.
True, but however, if you listen to 100 Joe Rogan podcasts, the Joe Rogan Experience, you listen to 100 and one of them piss you off and then you become a hater off that one, lose my fucking number. You know what I'm saying?
That doesn't necessarily have to be the case. They could be a hater from the jump, you know?
Oh, well, then they're just a hater. Then they're looking for any reason.
It's just always bunch
I'll tell you what, man, the smartest thing I ever did was that podcast. Before that, I got so much hate. So much fucking...
Well, people
hated
got to understand
me,
you.
And I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, I dress like Jay Leno and I get a fucking part in my head. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it.
The part looks good.
Yeah, it depends who you ask.
I like it.
Look like a giant Tobey Maguire. It just depends. People hate, you know?
They don't matter.
No, I agree. They don't matter. I'm just saying the best thing I ever did was the podcast. Because people are like, oh, he's not that big of a dick.
Yeah. Well, they didn't understand a lot of, like, when you would say things. Like, this is just your personality, your sense of humor. Like, they think this guy, like, really thinks he's the shit. Well, yes and no.
Yeah.
Like, in a way, yeah, but in another way, no. Like, he's having fun. Yeah. Like, this is fun.
Yeah.
What is this Kevin Hart and this soccer player thing?
David Beckham. This soccer player.
The soccer player that they always try to sneak in on us. Not buying it. I get it.
David Beckham?
I get it. He's cute. Whatever. Get out of here.
He's retired, too.
Well, whatever he is, get out of here. It's not working.
Oh, man.
Hello. I live in America, land of the free, home of the brave. We don't give a fuck who the world ping pong champion is, okay?
But soccer, bro.
Same thing.
He's the captain
of
England for a long time.
Darts. Who gives a fuck?
Darts.
Like, his fate was sealed when he came over to L.A. to play with the Mexicans. His fate was sealed. They didn't even give a fuck about him. A few, like, really
horny
girls.
We got him late, bro.
few really horny girls in their 30s came down because they were like super attracted to him, but
dude,
it didn't work.
David Beckham didn't work. Does work, son.
No, I'm saying it didn't work as far as like getting us to buy into soccer.
No,
it did not work.
Did not
it
work.
Did not
we
work.
Paid him like $1 gajillion.
Yeah, it didn't work.
And like seven people.
Nobody
showed
gave a
up.
Fuck.
No one gave a fuck.
You're like, this is still soccer. David Beckham is our ticket. What we need is a recognizable face.
We got him too late. We got him too late.
It didn't matter if he's fucking Diego Maradona in his prime. And he's got a dick that's made out of gold. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
It's still soccer.
It's soccer's tough.
Yeah. If that guy was playing baseball, holy shit.
What?
He would make A-Rod. You know, I mean, the damage that guys like A-Rod do, I mean, he would make that look silly.
I agree. He looks way better.
He's a beautiful man.
Wow. The dime
all
piece.
Tattooed up too. Oof. But he doesn't have the
accent.
Build. He doesn't have the build. Because in soccer, it's like not important to have muscles.
Bitches
got
get
no
that
muscle.
Skinny look, I feel like.
Some
no.
bitches.
Maybe.
The ones you don't want to fuck.
Trust You're probably
me.
Right.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. What do you want those?
Nah.
Those
Lighten
girls who
ass.
Want a guy that's tight. He's tired all the time. A guy like a weak frame. A guy who
yeah.
gets neck pains.
Mm.
That's not what they want.
No, that's not what they want.
They want a big brown
the big
on top
brown.
Of them. They want that super athlete dick. There's that the stoppage of that fight. Well, some girls like real skinny dudes. Oh, in all seriousness, some girls like dudes that look like they're like don't eat.
I think I saw a study where the most appealing for women was like kind of that dad bod, like not a real ripped dude, but not a fat
yeah.
dude.
You
He's
know
kind
who
of
wrote
between.
That study? Some fat dude is trying to get some pussy. It's bullshit. They're trying to.
Are you hating
yes.
on whoever wrote that? Because you're
what
ripped.
What they're doing is they're trying to get into the heads.
Where they say it's okay
of all the women out there and like hypnotize them.
That's true.
Well, they already did it with the fucking skinny bitches. Those the models that look like coat racks. Girls look at those models and think that's what they need to look like
for other girls, not for guys.
Right, but they think that's what they're supposed to look like.
I know.
If they just wanted to look good for guys, they would listen to us,
it's
and they would
honey
just be doing
Joe.
Squats, and they would be eating pasta all
rice,
day.
Rice, every yeah. night. Rice, squats.
Potatoes.
Rice,
sour
squats.
Cream.
Boom. Sour cream.
Pork chops. Don't
carb
be scared
up.
Of pork chops.
Don't be a basic bitch. Carb up.
Carb up and run stairs.
Run stairs.
You got to work those gluteus maximus. But to like women who like look at those like really tall, thin women, they think that that's what they have to achieve.
Who the fuck? Who
Again,
the fuck?
It's from television, man. It's from movies. It's from books. It's from magazines, rather.
What do the guys get? The guys get we look towards what? The Rock and shit, muscle fitness.
Yeah, there's that, and then there's like ridiculously like
Bieber?
Ripped people, like guys who are just like super shredded six pack guys are sitting around like almost like you know that guy. When he took that photo shoot, didn't eat for at least a day, dehydrated himself to show his abs.
Oh, he was on an 8-week fucking yeah. cut to get there.
When you see ads and guys look insanely ripped and they have like chiseled six packs, either they're a freak of nature, which is occasionally you have those,
yeah.
a guy who just looks insane no matter what he does, like the Kevin Randleman look, you know?
True.
Like just, or.
Oh, you mean black people?
That's what I was going to
yeah.
get to.
Sorry, bro.
Or.
Sorry.
You got a guy who is preparing for a photo shoot who's in a very unhealthy and dehydrated state. You know, when you see those guys, for people that don't know, if you watch bodybuilding and you see those guys and they're on that podium, that stage, and they're flexing and you see the striations, they will black out. If you made those guys run up a hill, they would literally black out and fall down. Mm-hmm. They have zero endurance.
They would die if that competition lasted 4 days.
Oh,
They'd
yeah.
be dead.
They'd be dead. They'd be dead. If it was like an endurance thing where you had to keep the competition going over days and days, they would be gone.
Dead.
They would be gone.
Yeah, they don't look like that.
Yeah. It's not healthy. You can't do that. So if men had a body dysmorphia thing, it would be about being ripped. Like,
yep.
that's why when that girl was fucking with you.
100%.
And saying you were soft, you're like,
yeah.
She's saying, you don't look like this unrealistic person
mm-hmm.
from these magazines that
mm-hmm.
I finger myself to.
And I said, bitch, you don't look like Nicki Minaj. What are we going to do? What are we going to do?
But Nicki Minaj, she wasn't even popular.
Back then, she wasn't popular.
Didn't really work.
I probably said.
Did you guys have an argument over it?
No, I was just like.
You were hurt?
Oh, yeah. And I was like, mm-hmm. sad.
I used to date this girl. She used to tell me about her ex-boyfriend. She dated this big, giant bodybuilder dude that he used to pick her up and fuck her up against the wall. And
hey,
I'm like,
man.
Do you really think I want to hear that?
Yeah, don't want to know that
stuff. Why do you want to tell me about some big guy who used to pick you up and fuck you against the wall. Because I can pick you up and fuck you against the wall. You're not that big.
Yeah,
if that,
no.
If you want to do
special.
That.
It's not special.
Yeah, I'm strong enough to do that, but I don't need to know about other
dudes
fucking you.
I like to pretend
specifically.
Dude, I like to pretend
really
my girl.
Like.
I'm the first one. Mm-hmm. I don't fucking picture any of that, man.
I used to do a bit about that. That every girl should say, "Is that what a dick looks like? I'm so glad I waited."
That would be great. That's fucking brilliant.
This is how I've always thought would be the best way to suck it, and then just do an ace 5-star
porno style, just like shit,
yeah,
wifey.
And you're like, wait a minute, how'd you learn? I don't want to know.
I don't want to know. I'll just pretend you fucking learned it off videos. Dude, speaking of dicks, did you see, speaking of dicks.
Justin Bieber's dick, is that what you're going to bring up? I knew it.
Dude, I knew it.
I knew it. I knew you were going to bring up his
dick.
Dude. He's got a good dick.
Good sized hoggy on him.
Kids happy.
Kids killing the game, bro.
Do you think that maybe he like pulled it out a little, fluffed it up.
Got a little blood flow.
Knew everybody was going to see it.
You know, he had that dime piece of a girl waiting on the couch, so I'm sure he boned her. He's Justin Bieber. Mm. And then was like, you know what? I'm going to get butt naked, play some guitar on the balcony, and someone caught him. Like, I don't think he's walking around with that big old hog like that.
That's true. But also,
he's gifted, though.
Maybe he doesn't give a fuck. Maybe when you have $300 million and you're 19... You're like, maybe I'll just go show my hog to everybody.
For real?
Take just my hog out for a walk. Take my hog out on the balcony.
Take this hog out for a little stroll.
And he's got to think, like, as famous as he is, that everything he does, he's constantly got people trying to take pictures of him.
You know what? Like, if you have that hoggy, though, it's like, fuck it. Why not?
Let it out.
Yeah, let it breathe, bro. Let it shine. Quit hating on the dick.
That's a good point. That's
yeah,
a very
right?
good point.
Isn't it a legit point? Good for him.
See, that's something. Forget about squats. Forget about tit implants.
Oof.
Lips. They're not a goddamn thing you can do.
Nothing.
Isn't that incredible? That if you look at the game, the genetic game, all right, that one of the number one things is dick size. Number one things.
Number one.
One of the number one things. And that is the one fucking nut that science can't crack. We could put a man on the moon. We can send video from your fucking cell phone to a dude in Australia instantaneously. You can download Netflix on the ride to the airport. I mean, you're pulling movies out of the sky.
You can do some shit.
God damn, you can do some shit. You could Skype with people that are on the other side of the planet, talk to them in real time, look at them like I'm looking at you. That's all possible. Can't fix that dick.
Can't fix that
Sorry.
Dick, bro. Sorry.
How close are you getting?
Not close, man. We can't
Nothing.
Figure shit out.
Nothing. We could cut the tendon at the bottom and stretch it out, but I mean, you
good
know,
luck
whatever.
With that, though. What gives you me half an inch? My buddy, I won't say his name, obviously, has a small dick. I was at his house a while ago. Found a dick extender for his girl. He saw me see this fucking adapter. I just looked at him and said, "I get it, bro. I get it." I could have roasted him hard for having a tiny dick and having a dick extender.
Now, when you say a dick extender, like a rubber dick that you put on top of your actual dick
to help your girl out, because he has a tater tot dick, so you put this thing on top of it. It's a bummer, bro. Me being the nice guy, I just looked at him and said, I get it.
It is what it is.
Carry on with your night.
It is what it is, man.
It's a bummer, man. You can't do shit. Like, if you're real skinny, all right, whatever. You can lift weights, eat right, maybe even buy some steroids. We can figure some shit out. Like you said, your dick. We got 3D printing where we're making all sorts of fucking new organs, whatever the fuck you want. We can't do dicks.
I got a question.
Yeah.
When you see, like, women that are bodybuilders and they take steroids, their clit grows and their clit becomes like a dick.
Yeah.
Do you think if a dude got on some crazy-ass fucking steroids, would it make his dick grow? Like, if you got on some wild silverback Mark Coleman 1996 type steroids. You know,
you have to ask Mark Coleman.
Some top of the fucking food chain Alexander Karelin type shit.
Some Pujanowski.
Wouldn't your dick grow?
I feel like it would.
I think it would grow.
Your balls are going to shrivel up like raisins, but your dick is going to be
balls
fat.
Your balls are going to have to step away from the game. They're not doing the job. You know, it's like, what if you have a 4-cylinder engine in your race car and someone comes along and says, listen, we got one or two choices. We can either take out this bitch-ass 4-cylinder and put in this LS7 6-point-whatever-liter motherfucking fire-breathing dragon engine, or you can keep up with your bullshit fuel economy and that shitty putt-putt. What are we going to do? Are we here to win races? Well, you take that crazy, you know, Mark Kerr
Hoggy
circa
of an engine.
2001, you know, Mark Kerr, the smashing machine at its peak.
The smashing thing.
Take some of that stuff.
Bro, I think, you know, I don't know if your dick grows longer. I think it might get fatter. It
might get bigger, too. I mean, just if the fat. Girl's clit gets bigger.
I don't
is this
know,
Dustin
man.
Jacoby next? Is that next? Oh, that's a good fight.
That's co-main event.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Denver product.
Yeah, he's a tough kid, man.
Fought in the UFC, too, right?
Yes, he did. Tough kid. I wonder. I think genetic engineering is going to be where it's all at. That's what's going to
happen.
Yeah,
we'll get there.
The lips,
pretty
the butts,
soon, everyone's going to be walking around
the
with
dicks,
fat asses, lines, big dicks.
Giant dicks.
Big noses.
Yeah, I used to have this bit about big dick pills, that if big dick pills really worked, it would take about 30 minutes for the first guy to die of an overdose. And
just
then
like,
I go, because no one's going to take one.
Hell
if,
no.
If big dick pills work, it take one makes my dick grow. What if I take all of them?
That's how guys
how much
are.
Do I take before I die? And I'll take one less than that.
Yeah,
we'll get this fucking party rolling.
Get this party rolling.
And I was like, there's Jacoby fighting that guy that we just saw that won earlier right there. Jacoby's one of the guys who beat him. The guy that we saw earlier that knocked out Bang
these
Bang.
These last two
bang.
Fights are going to be dope.
Yeah. And Wayne Barrett's a bad motherfucker. He's very good. Super athletic. Real quick. Real sneaky, man. Really, really good athlete. Good boxer, too. He's a good boxer before he got into kickboxing. He's a real good athlete, too. There's a lot of real good guys at the high level in this.
I mean, Schilling. I wonder how it works with Glory. Like, are they contracted to Glory where they can't fight anywhere else?
Is he fights
like
with Bellator, too.
Is it, you know, Bellator and Glory are friendly, but can he fight elsewhere? Can he fight over in Japan or in Thailand?
I don't know how his contracts
I wonder how those contracts are.
I don't know. They have
because it has to be tough.
Paul Daly
for a lot
now
of guys.
Too, though. They have Paul Daly.
Yeah,
he's in both Bellator yeah. and it's
well,
a
like
good,
I said. That makes sense for those guys.
It's just whatever it is for whatever reason. Bellator has been around for a long time now. Okay, it's been around for several years, and for whatever fucking reason, it just has not caught on the way the UFC caught on in like the early 2000s.
Oh, it never will.
That doesn't make sense to me.
They don't have the stars, they don't have the depth, they don't have the production
but
crew, they don't have the money, right?
They have Viacom money.
And that's like, crazy money.
Well, why doesn't Viacom say, look, we could either have this middling product where we're always going to have like good guys like Phil Davis and Tito Ortiz and, you know, Shlemenko and good fighters, or we can go balls out and we can get the really good guys.
Like who?
Like
what
anybody that's in contract negotiations. Chad Mendes was talking to them. When Chad Mendes had, you know, his contract is about to come up, you don't think that he got offers? I don't know what his deal was, and I don't think he was even thinking about going, but you don't think that Rampage went over there? You know, Rampage is in a lawsuit right now where he's got to figure out where he's going to fight again.
If he is ever going to fight again.
The UFC said they would let him go. They said, you know,
really?
Yeah, they said,
oh,
look, we
man.
Understand that you're in this big lawsuit with Viacom. And Viacom's threatened to sue. The UFC said, we'll let you go. You could go and fight for them. And
that's dope,
I think,
man.
Yeah.
That's cool for them to do that.
I think they're offering to settle. I think Viacom's offering to settle. They want, because they did violate his contract. They did, 100%. And he did fight Fabio Maldonado afterwards. The judge cleared him to fight.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the specifics of the case was, but is the last that I read
you're,
was that
you're looking at a 10-year investment where we're gonna have to get these young guys from the UFC, and then we're gonna have to recruit the younger guys who come up because guys come up through the ranks, right? Like Phil Davis or the Ultimate Fighter came up through the Ultimate Fighter. A bunch of guys did. They have to figure out kind of their feeder system because right now all they're doing is biting off the UFC. Really, let's be honest. Really,
yeah,
they're putting on B level, C level shows that the UFC put on five, six years ago.
Yeah,
Phil Davis kind of the first guy who's in his prime who went there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but Phil Davis isn't a knockout artist. I love Phil.
Phil Davis just knocked out, what's his face?
Hold. He's from
Francis
Montreal.
Carmont. Yes. And Carmont's a very good fighter, and Davis beat the shit out of him.
Knocked him out.
He looked nasty.
No, Davis
fight.
Fucked those dudes
it's like,
up.
It's like he turned a corner, you know? And like,
did he turn a corner
there.
Or is he fighting lesser competition?
Both. I think both.
I agree. I think Davis is getting better, and I think Davis is in his prime, and he's going to run that show for a very, very long time.
I was super impressed when he beat Glover. I was like, wow, that is a big victory. But I think Glover had a shit camp. I really do.
Still a big victory, though. Whatever excuse Glover makes, that's a huge victory.
100%. But I was disappointed when he lost to Bader. But then when you see the way Bader beat Rashad, you're like, look, you need to consider Bader the way he is right now. Don't consider how Bader got knocked out by Glover or Bader that got knocked out by Machida.
What, 5 in a row?
He's won 5 in a row and look fucking real good.
But guess what's next for him, though? You're a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Anthony Johnson.
Yeah.
Couldn't be a worse matchup for
him. Is that happening? Because Rumble asked for it.
Well, I think that's what's next for him. Because what are you going to do? You're going to sit out and wait for John and DC to fight? Who knows how long that's going to be?
Rumble's,
they're going to make you fight.
Rumble's terrifying,
and I can't think of a worse matchup for Bader, and I love Bader. But if I'm Bader, I'm like, God, I'd rather fight John Jones than Rumble. I can't think of a worse matchup for him.
There's some interesting fights at 205. Real interesting. Real interesting. I was really surprised how well he shut Rashad down. I was really surprised. I was like, wow, Bader has really turned a corner.
That's a tough fight to say that.
Well, it is because Rashad had 2 years layoff, but Bader looked real good. I'm only basing it on how good Bader looked. He looked real good.
He looked real smooth
with his stand-up.
He's getting way better.
His jab is nasty, man. The jab is really opening up a lot of the other aspects of his striking because he's developed a rhythm with his jab where his jab has become so fluid and efficient that he can like kind of half out there. He can half it and then pop you with it. He's landing it in like a more diverse way than he ever did before. He has more proficiency, like his proficiency with his jab.
I agree. He looks great.
Co-main event, Wayne Barrett versus Dustin Jacoby.
Bader does look great. I think it's tough to base it off the Rashad fight.
I agree with you. That was a real tough fight for Rashad. I think Rashad would have done better to have a fight with someone who wasn't
warm up or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But think about Bader, man. Think what Bader's come from. Remember when he lost to fucking Tito Ortiz and it's two in a row? Remember he lost to Tito Ortiz?
Mm-hmm.
Remember Tito Ortiz was like, I can hit him. And he's like, fell down.
Well, he hit him and then he choked
him. Submitted him, yeah.
Yeah. But that, you know what?
That was
man?
A motherfucker, man.
Tito Ortiz, if he's on and he catches you, he's still Tito Ortiz.
Oh, he's Tito Ortiz. One of the best of all time.
Got to remember, he was at one point in time the motherfucker.
Baddest guy on earth for a while.
I mean, not really, because Chuck was always out there. We always knew that Chuck was out there. But before he fought Chuck, when you think of what he did to Evan Tanner, you think of like the beatdowns he put on Kevin and Ken Shamrock.
Yeah, man.
Like Tito Ortiz is still Tito. The way he's like one of the first guys to ever use a one-arm guillotine.
Mm-hmm.
He choked out Yuki Kondo in Japan. Remember that?
Well, think about...
Was that Japan? I think it was.
Well, think about Bader, though, that he was 2 losses in a row and just lost to Tito Ortiz. He was like on the chopping block, man. I remember just being like, damn, really, Bader?
Well, that dude just
kept
working.
Boom.
Dustin Jacoby is going after Wayne Barrett. This is a dangerous fight for Jacoby because Barrett has fought more elite competition. Like, he's fought Joe Schilling, beat Joe Schilling once, lost to Joe Schilling in the last fight, knocked Joe Schilling down. Like, he's dangerous. And Jacoby is... I forget the Brazilian cat that he got knocked out by.
Dude, I say McNichols Arena. That arena's been shut down for literally 15 years. That's Magnus Arena. My bad.
Oh.
Magnus. McNichols is old school where UFC like 2 and 3 happen.
Dude, this is a good fight. Wayne Barrett. He's slick, man. Look at that. Whoops. Not here.
Ooh.
Yeah. Jacoby's like super aggressive too. I forget the dude that he fought, this badass Brazilian cat. What's Dustin Jacoby's record? A badass dude who caught him with a left hook.
Dude, it's tough because Jacoby came to the UFC and just struggled, right? Because you can't fight like this. It's tough to get off like this.
It's a different style fighting with the small gloves. That's for sure. Who did he lose to?
That's MMA. So
yeah, this is MMA.
The wall. Look for,
that's all MMA. See if you find Dustin Jacoby's kickboxing career.
Ooh,
good duck under. See how slick he ducked under that looping right hand? Yeah. It's just the big gloves thing, the defense is so much different.
Oh, 100%.
And that's what happened with Schilling. In Schilling's last fight, he got caught with that Superman punch by that dude.
That was bad.
Oof, it was ruthless.
Shit happens.
But those punches, they come down on angles.
There he is. Damn, that stretch from 13 to 15 was tough.
Why can't I read that? Make that...
Casey Green, Ariel...
Pereira? Alex Pereira? Yeah, it was a Pereira.
He lost
fight.
To Pereira, yeah.
Yeah, that's who it was. It was Pereira.
Damn, he's fought all over.
Yeah. It's a totally different style of defense when you're using the small gloves. the big gloves give you so much more leeway to catching punches, and the punches themselves are bigger, the gloves are bigger, so the punches are coming at you, it's a larger object coming at you, and you have a larger object to catch that larger object. And all that shit is shrunken considerably when you put those MMA gloves into
the mix.
Oh, dude,
night and day. It'd be like these guys fighting with their hand wraps on. Mm-hmm. It's a completely different game.
What do you think about the idea of no gloves?
It won't work.
No?
Well, if you hate money and ratings, it'll work. You know what I'm saying? like it's rough. It's rough enough now being mainstream. You know, I don't think we're still mainstream. I think we're still working on that with the top sports. You take gloves off, and these dudes are bare knuckle fucking dudes up. Yeah, it makes sense to us, right? It makes sense to the educated people. But I mean, mid America sees that shit. General people, they're like, what the hell? This is so barbaric.
Right. Maybe.
That's the only thing.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, man. I mean, why is it barbaric to punch in the face and not barbaric to knee in the face?
I'm with you 100%. Take the gloves off. It's safer.
It is.
It is. I'm with you. However, marketing-wise, good luck selling that. They're like, hold up. We're going back to the Kimbo Slice backyard brawl days? I thought we were moving forward.
Well, you would have a lot of dudes breaking their hands, too. That would be a real problem. It would be a real problem for, like, longevity of your career. And people think I'm exaggerating. Listen, take away the hand wraps. Take away the wrist wraps. No wrist wraps. Because I think one of the flaws of the human hand and for punching is the wrist. It's hard. Like, you have to have, like, real discipline to punch hard. And you have to practice hitting things bare knuckle to really develop that rigidity in your wrist when you deliver the impact of a punch. Because most people, when they hit things, their wrist bends back and twists sideways. Most people don't know. They wind up breaking their hands. They hit with the knuckles, the outside.
That's why Boss would open hand slap bitches.
Well,
that's why
he
started
to.
Doing that.
No, he was fighting in Pancrase. That's the only way he could fight. He figured out that was the rules of Pancrase.
He also did it, though, when they had gloves. He used open hand shit.
Really?
Yeah.
When they had gloves, he did that?
Yeah. He would throw his hooks with an open hand, he said.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, that's one of the reasons why he probably transferred so easily to Pancrase. Mm-hmm. Damn, this is a good fight. You know, one of the things that Boss figured out how to do in some weird way, he figured out how to pull his hand back way far. So when he was hitting guys, he was hitting them like a punch with the palm.
Yeah.
With the base of the palm, like right where it reaches, like where the palm is meets the wrist joint. He would pull his hand so far back, like unnaturally far. If you watch his fights, it's kind of weird how far his hands go
back. He was like
back.
The first freak athlete to get the... I mean, he was a freak athlete, man.
He was the first elite striker in MMA, in my opinion. Him and Mo Smith. But he was probably the first, because with Mo, he really didn't know any grappling to speak of. When he first started fighting in Pancrase, he really had to learn more grappling before we could see... Like in extreme fighting, you got to see what his kickboxing was really like. When he knocked out Conan Silveira... That's when everybody was like, oh, shit. Like, this is some next-level shit. And then when he came over to the UFC and beat Mark Coleman and won the title, people were like, okay, this is what a kickboxer really looks like, a world-class kickboxer.
Mm-hmm. Boss said he taught himself jiu-jitsu.
That's madness.
Crazy, right? Yeah. Said he'd watch videos and teach himself. Had a training partner. Just him and his training partner would learn on
Come here.
Each other.
I tried this on you.
How crazy is that?
I believe it.
Boss is crazy.
Savage.
Savage.
He had some crazy ideas about conditioning, too. He goes, when I would kick the bag, I would go 100%. And how long could I do? 30 seconds? 100%. Well, tomorrow I'll do 40 seconds. And then I'd do 2 minutes. And then
he's a crazy dude.
He would build it up so that he could get to, like, whatever the round was. He would just sprint.
God damn. It's a different time back then.
Well, they didn't, you know, now people do Tabata. When you do...
They do like, it on elliptical and shit. Yeah.
You do, like, intervals, like Tabata intervals. What is Tabata? It's like
20 seconds,
seconds
on, 10 seconds
off.
That's the typical Tabata.
What I do when I do sprint, like if I'm in a hotel and I have nothing but an elliptical machine in the gym, I'll do sprints on the elliptical machine where I crank it up to, like, whatever, a really high level, and I'll do 30 minutes of thunder, I call it. Or 30 seconds of thunder.
I was like, 30 minutes? No. God damn.
30 seconds, well, 30 minutes for the whole workout.
Yeah.
But for the thunder, it's 30 seconds on, 30 seconds off. It gives me something to do. And it, like, those 30 seconds off, like, oh, oh, I know it's coming. I know it's coming. Here comes that fucking 29.
It makes it go by faster, though. I think it's a better way to do it.
Yeah.
Because you're not so focused on the overall time. You're more focused on 30, 30, 30, 30, 30.
Yeah. It also gets you used to being just completely exerted. It's a great way to get a cardio workout in on a piece of, like, when people think of, like, hardcore workouts, you think of an Airdyne or maybe a VersaClimber.
Yeah.
Like, those you think of as, like, hard. Well, a VersaClimber, you can get the same kind of insane workout on an elliptical machine.
100%.
But people associate elliptical with, like, you know, you're watching the news, sort of, like,
girls
going
on
slow.
The, you know?
When I use the elliptical machine, people look at me like something fucking wrong with
me. Yeah, I go hard in the paint on an elliptical. I go fucking hard on the elliptical, dog.
Hard in the paint?
Hard in the paint.
What does that mean?
Just like, it's basketball terms, right? Like,
is
hard
it?
In the paint, yeah.
Oh, the paint. Like the paint. The paint.
I go hard in the motherfucking paint.
Is this round two or three? Round three. Damn, Dustin Jacoby.
You know how guys have, we're starting to see a trend where guys are sparring less and less because they realize the abuse in the gym.
Yeah.
That Rodriguez was saying how he only sparred three times, I think, in camp.
Yeah, Yair. Yeah. I think Brian Stan was saying that.
Yeah.
Whoa,
three times.
Dustin Jacoby trying to wheel. Dustin Jacoby really taking it to him, man.
Aggressive.
He looks great. He looks really improved, too, from the Pereira fight. I think that knockout really taught him a lot about defense. He's looking great in this fight, man. Good leg kick right there.
Barrett's throwing with the freaking.
But look how like how easy it is to block punches with these goddamn big gloves. It's such a different game. It's so different. Look at this. John Wayne Parr, when he does that cage Muay Thai, do they wear MMA gloves or do they wear
MMA gloves?
Yeah.
He has a fight coming up, right? He's coming out here soon.
He's fighting Black Dynamite.
I like that guy.
In cage Muay Thai, and he's out here fighting for the title.
In San Diego?
In Lion Fight. He's going to fight for the title. I like that guy, too. He's a good dude.
Yeah, really good dude. Funny.
Yeah, I got to work out with him, man. He showed me some...
Oh, yeah, how was that?
Really interesting way of throwing punches. Like, he throws everything hard. Like, even his jab is hard.
He makes it count.
His jab, he pulls back with his right hand. Oh, shit. Wayne Barrett went down. What happened? Oh, my God. He was touching the back of his head. Like it was a bad strike.
Damn, he's out of it. Oh, he's super out of it.
That's it. Whoa. Dustin Jacoby knocked out Wayne Barrett. And Wayne Barrett he was pointing to the back of his head. He pointed to the back of his head earlier in the fight, too. Damn, Dustin Jacoby, congratulations.
Good for you.
What was I just saying? John Wayne Parr. He throws punches like this. He pulls back on his right hand. This is how he throws a jab. Heesh! He goes like that. Heesh!
Jesus
like,
Christ.
I worked out with him for like an hour and a half. We did.
Was that awesome?
Yeah, it was really fun. He's a good dude. He showed me a lot of cool shit, too. A lot of cool shit. Like the way he delivers knees is interesting, too. Damn, that is legit as fuck.
Hell yeah.
What is he pointing the back of his head for? Let's see that again.
He got so fucked up, you know where he got hit.
He was getting battered before he got dropped there. I mean, that was not just that one shot, either. What happened? Oh, they went to a commercial. So I wanted to see that knockdown again.
That's the other thing, They'll man. Probably show I don't it miss to you. Boxing.
No.
Any boxing. I watch fucking all of it.
We have a thing, right? Can we rewind that for a second? I just want to see that knockdown again.
That'd be nice.
I forgot we have the DVR up in this bitch. Yeah, there it is. No, right before that, Jamie. Right before that.
Oh.
Right before that.
There we go.
Here we go.
This is the money maker.
Here we go. Boom. Boop.
On the temple.
Boom. That's good.
Chin. Back of the
head.
Oh,
that's 100% good. That's the side of the head.
Oh, that'd
that's
be
the temple.
I'd say that's the back of the head.
Let me see that again.
Where I come from,
boom,
that'd be back of the
left
head.
Left hook. Bam. No. No chance.
Bro-sif.
Dude,
that is the back of the head.
Make it slow,
head.
Jamie.
It's
make
legal.
It go slow. Hold
it's
on.
Legal, though.
Hold on, but make it go slow. That's a fucking temple, dude. Watch this.
Bro, that would be back
hold
of
on.
The head.
Hold on. Make it slow. How do you make it go? Isn't there a slow button? There's a slow-mo thing. I don't know how to use this. You press, like, pause and then, I don't know.
Double pause?
I think pause and then fast forward. Let me see that thing. Isn't there like a way you can do slow-mo? Pretty sure there is. What is this? No network connection. Cancel. Hold on.
Oh, he's saying it's back
what
to did the you, head.
What happened here, Jamie? Where am I pressing this to? Where's the receiver? It's in there?
Yeah.
Well, how does it work?
It's RF radio frequency.
Well, it's not reacting.
I think you got to hit cancel on that thing. There
okay,
you go.
Now it's working.
Yeah, that's for sure back of the head. But it's legal. You know what I'm saying? It's in transition.
Okay,
so it's legal.
I'm gonna take a look at it better.
Give me that first view.
Let's get a view of it in real time first. Here it is right here.
This is where you can see the back of the head.
Boom. Bam. Ooh. See, to me, it looks like the side of the head.
Definitely.
He's
not.
Grabbing this. He's grabbing
if
this.
This is the side of the head, then
no,
I agree.
No, that's not where he's grabbing. He's grabbing, like, his temple. How do I make this thing go slow? Let me see if I can do this. I think there's a way. Yeah, here it is.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Okay.
Gotta get the old crazy eyes on him.
Okay, ready? Here we go. There's Dustin Jacoby moving in. Check it. Mad pressure by Jacoby, too. Good defense. Look at that. Good defense there. Barrett tried to swing that right hook around.
His left
and
hook.
Jacoby, bang, catches him here. 100% clean there.
That side of the head.
Side of the head, which is legit, right?
Correct.
Okay, let's see. We get a good view of it here. And Barrett really relying on that right hand. Boom.
Kind
of
catches
let's see
him.
If,
grazes that
but that
nose.
One gets blocked. That one gets blocked. So now he's coming over again. Barrett is, or Jacoby is, misses that left. And now here we go.
Here goes the back of the head. Look at that.
Come on, son.
Bro,
look where he's standing. Look where he's standing.
That's basically the back of his neck.
Look where he's standing. They're standing staring at each other.
Homeboy moves, though. So he moves his neck.
Wayne Barrett turns his head sideways, and he hits him. Right in the temple.
Bro, that's not in the temple.
It's right here.
If
we side could, of the head. That
no.
is not, look at him. It's not the back
he's
of his head.
He's not touching right there. He's
Dude,
not touching
unless
there.
He has a hook for an arm, there's no fucking way that's hitting the back
Bro,
of his head.
Look
at where
look
it
right
makes
there.
Impact.
Look at that right there.
No, look at it right there. It's bouncing off the side of his head, and you see the fist appear behind his head.
Bro, that's
One more
here.
Time. One more time. Let's watch it again. Watch it again. Boom, that's one. And there's Schnauz. The right hook. Misses. And there's the left hook over
Misses.
The top.
Misses. Misses.
And here it comes. Here it comes. Look, they're standing right at each other, and the punch comes.
And
watch where the punch
enjoy
comes.
This punch
straight.
Back of the neck.
Look at that punch.
Back of the neck. That's not touching him. Right
incorrect.
Now.
This is Bro, a incorrect. This is a straight punch. Right. It lands on the side of his head, and then it glances off the side of his head, and you see the fist behind the head.
You don't think that's
not
the impact
no
that there?
Fucking chance.
Oh,
that is not
I disagree.
Hitting. That is not hitting the back of his head. That is hitting the side of his head. And you're seeing the
I
punch.
I think with the glove, it's like here, Joe. Look, like here.
Yeah, that's legal, dude.
No, it's illegal. I think that's legal. What
are you
doing?
Saying? Back of the head. That's the side of the head.
Whoa.
That's the side of the head.
If you go to punch me and I move like this, and you end up hitting side and back of the head, that's legal.
But he's not hitting the back of the head.
So he didn't touch the
he
back
hit the
of his
side
head.
Of his head. No,
he touched side and back.
I don't know, man. It's
Boom!
That to me looks
Knock
more
your ass out,
like
back of the head.
Right behind the ear, which is totally legit. The back of the head to me is a rabbit punch. That's where the base of the neck meets the
so
base of the head
so
meets the neck.
So where's this, Joe?
That's the back of the ear. That's legal. That's not. That's there's no.
I'm saying
that's legal
where,
even
I'm
in
saying
MMA.
It hit right here.
I think you're changing the game.
No. That's I back of the head, bro.
He's changing the game. Yeah, but it's not. Boom.
It's legal. That
it's
hit
kind
is
of,
illegal.
Yeah, it's totally legal.
Yeah,
okay.
I agree. It's all legal. Right. No, we're right. not
Maybe
disagreeing
I misunderstood.
That.
Maybe yeah. I misunderstood. I thought
oh,
you were saying that.
Oh, we got miscommunication here. That's all it is.
That's pretty slick, though.
Yeah, it was.
It's a big win for Jacoby, man. Real big win. Oh, shit. Artem Levend, top of the heap.
He's out, though, huh?
Well, he's out for this fight. You know, you look at that guy, you look at his body, and you're like, it looks a lot like Ari Shaffir's body. Just, like, how is that guy such a badass, you know?
Damn, man of number four, huh?
Well, he's been fucked up by Joe Schilling.
Super
that doesn't make any sense.
Up.
How is he so highly ranked?
Well, Joe's two, though.
Well, Joe Schilling hasn't really lost in glory other than the decision loss to Simon Marcus. That wasn't in glory. The decision loss to Artem Levin. He beat Artem Levin by decision two. And then the decision loss to Wayne Barrett. Those are the fights that he lost in glory.
Unless Schilling's getting paid bank to compete in MMA, for sure stick with kickboxing.
I agree.
What the fuck are you doing?
I think he just doesn't want to back off from a challenge, and he wants to be the best at everything he does. You know, that's how he got to be such a badass kickboxer.
I agree, but be a badass kickboxer. Don't be an average MMA fighter.
Well, it's just really hard to do everything, man. It's really hard. It's really fucking
hard to
do
everything.
Oh, no,
it's not possible. It's not possible.
Yeah.
It's really not.
It's a crazy game, man. The game of trying to be the baddest motherfucker in two disciplines. That is a crazy crazy game.
Because the guys he's fighting aren't folks on their off time grappling and wrestling. No. They're getting better at striking.
100%.
That's what it's tough. Like when I see that, I love Joe Schill. He's a friend of yours. He's a friend of mine. And I support him. But when I see him do MMA, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, you know what? He knocked out Melvin Manhoef in MMA, but he was fighting a guy in Melvin Manhoef that, even though he had a lot of success in MMA, knocked out Mark Hunt. He's a guy who's been knocked out a gang of times.
A ton, man.
Knocked out by Robbie Lawler in one of the most horrific knockouts you've ever seen in your life.
He was winning that fight, too.
He was.
If you remember.
Robbie Lawler uncorked a nuke on
from
his face.
From downtown.
Yeah, boom. And his lights went out, and he goes flat to his back.
So bad.
Then Robbie comes down on him when he's out.
Dude. Boom. Endo Bisping style.
And just blood all over his mouth. His blood coming out of his mouth. And he busted his fucking lip open. I think that, Joe's just got that in him. He just wants to be a bad motherfucker at everything he does, which is why he became so good at kickboxing. But I think there's wisdom in your words. He's one of the best kickboxers on the planet Earth, without a doubt.
Hands down. Hands down one of the best on planet Earth.
But I think
average MMA fighter.
But losing the way he lost to that Japanese cat, that half-Japanese dude that he lost to. Who was that guy's name?
Where he got Superman punched?
Yeah. That guy was a beast, man. That guy's really good. He's no joke,
He's
man.
He's good.
No, his striking is nasty. That fucking punch was nasty. No matter how
that
you slice it.
Punch was super nasty. I agree. I'm just saying it's still Bellator.
It is. But that guy has only fought in Bellator that one time. I mean, that guy could have easily been in the UFC.
And get he could ate have been... the fuck up. Like Kobayashi. No.
Never know.
Kato.
Yeah.
But we got about Kato. 10 minutes left before we're at 3 hours.
Yeah, Saiki Kato get his ass ate up in
really?
The UFC.
We got 10 minutes left before we go to 3 hours. So we're going to take a little break here, folks, and we're going to have a very short part two.
Mm.
The part two will be so goddamn short. It's 10, what is it, 9:15 now? Yeah, actually, 15. We'll probably go to 10 o'clock. We'll make part two like 45 minutes. We'll go to 10 o'clock. So we're going to get the fuck out of here now. The end of this podcast has come. If you're annoyed by this, listen, this is just how these things go. Whatever, for sure, don't download part two. Because for sure, we're just going to be talking about our friend Joe Schilling.
True.
I love that dude. So that's why we're here. That's why this is the first Spike TV Glory event we've ever done a fight companion for. 100% for Joe Schilling. This is what this is for. Mauro Ranallo, cage side with Skeletor. We'll be right back.